Wow, so there's no benefits to sleeping with you?
Oh, there are lots of benefits to sleeping with me. It's just you don't get it free into Dragon Con.
Well, of course there are benefits. Haven't you read what says the bathroom wall?
Either.
What?
Which were you drunk two nights ago?
No. Why?
More than usual, you mean?
I just got a message you sent me on the 12th of August at 4 a.m. my time just popped up on my dash.
Never mind. So you haven't checked your email then, and you don't know what that means.
Oh,
yes, yes. You're going to feel very, very foolish when you check your email.
Who doesn't check their email every day? What's wrong with you?
No, I checked it, but I forgot what it was in it. Now I remember, and now I feel very foolish.
Can you share with the rest of the class or not?
No.
No.
Wait, you were saying?
Masturbatory expel.
You missed out on my ejaculation metaphor.
Yeah, you missed out. I'm really glad
I missed out on your ejaculation, Aaron.
Yeah, yeah. Wednesday's going to be great.
Yeah, Rox, just be careful.
Rox, you're going to have fun with me on Wednesday because I'm going to get my iPad and it'll be the first time I'll ever have an iPad. So that's going to be fun. You get to be my sensei.
Okay.
You're coming to the States and buying an iPad?
I've already pre-bought an iPad. Yes, it's in Lee's house.
Here's the question. Is this actually $200 or are we getting around this?
This is $199B or $199.5, the extended edition.
No, Wedge, if you want to do your Marvel thing, you could always call it .1.
All right, I'm talking to my brother-in-law.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, all right, where are we on the beer?
So we get to hear half of a conversation.
Oh, okay. So, okay, do you want me to come over and help?
Mute, Rox. Mute.
He wants us to hear it.
This is, yeah. What?
The thing hold is, on. We already did is
Toughly. Hold on. All right.
Hold on, because she can't hear two conversations at once, and we have to not
and help.
Be involved, even though she said talk amongst ourselves.
And we're recording a podcast.
Well, it's part of the whole thing.
Fantastic.
I can come over. I made labels and everything, or I will. Of which, what did
I
we
have,
decide
or
on?
I will. I don't
okay,
know which
one. Okay, the beer
one.
Is ready, people. The beer is
Yay,
ready.
Yay, beer.
I'll see about coming over on Sunday.
So is anybody reading or watching television so we can do as many forms of media simultaneously as possible?
I'm uploading something
I'm browsing
to
Facebook.
No, okay. I'm uploading something to Dropbox.
Podcast. I'm painting my toenails.
I'm teaching myself to read Braille.
All right. Tell Eric I'll call her tomorrow.
I've ordered Rift Tracks tickets.
Bye. Bye, Rox's brother-in-law.
Okay. So, we got beer. We're bottling on Sunday.
Hey,
clean bottles.
Hey, Aaron.
Oh, my God. He's
John.
So anal on the whole cleaning bottle thing.
I don't want his. Hey, I don't want
does
a bottle
not
of
sound
things.
Very hygienic, let me just say.
He is very persnickety about cleaning bottles.
It's not Scott we're talking about here, so it's fine.
Hey.
Oh, I didn't ask him how many. We'll find out. Okay. Widge, do you want to tell them about the email, the real regular mail you got?
Yeah, we actually got an email. Regular mail. I'm so used to saying email. Who does mail anymore? It was weird.
The real snail mail?
I got a real piece of snail mail that said, basically, hi, I read about Derelict. It was reviewed in this particular zine reviewing publication. Here's my $2. Please send me one.
So it's in the mail. And of which, I actually hunted down Xerography Debt number 33 through Microcosm. That's where I get stuff. And it was only like $4 for a report zine. So here is our review for Derelict number one.
Why?
Yes. Derelict number one. Oh, and let's see. It's really cool. They have like several people, and this is by Joe Beal, P.O. Box, and he's maybe JJ knows him. Joe Beal.
He's from Portland?
P.O. Box, yeah.
Everybody in Portland knows each other.
432 Portland, Oregon, 97293. So if you have any, if you want, you can always send him what you thought about what you thought of Derelict and send him, you know, a correspondence. So,
yeah, how is it pronounced, JJ?
Oregon, never gone.
It's pronounced, sir, it's pronounced derelict, is how it's pronounced.
Yes. All right. So Oregon.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So here it is.
Oregon.
Despite some difficult design issues, this zine was a startling pleasure, including a depthy interview with Douglas Adams about his work on Doctor Who, his own book, and his own interests, and so much more. This interview clarified for me why the Hitchhiker's Guide movie was so god-awful. He had a strong vision. He had strong visions for making it worth watching, but instead was produced after his death. The rest of the zine is a mishmash of nerdier aspects of games, games and pop culture. It's not edited or focused enough to grip me thoroughly, but perhaps I'm being too demanding.
Yes.
$2? Well,
it's a slight cupping.
Well, here's the funny thing. I don't mind the whole despite the difficult design issues because you know what? I worked hard to make it look bad. I really freaking did. And my coworker's like, you made it look too good for what, you know, we get zines and, you know, JJ will attest to this. He's seen really bad zines. I actually have one here, you know, that I will review that's really god awful. You know, so I say I did a good job by making difficult design issues. So
you win, Rox. You win.
I win. So I say that good for us for this review.
Awesome.
So
And we made $2.
And we made $2. I know we made no money at DragonCon last year. Even though I told everybody just if you could get money, keep it. But nobody made any money. But that's okay. It got into the hands of people. So
I left a pile of them at a zine store here. I have no idea if he actually sold them or not.
You know what? I wouldn't doubt if this Xerography debt thing was, let's see, where is this coming from? It's published year, let's see, twice a year. Oh, and it's, where is it? It doesn't say where. It's from Baltimore. Okay. So, oh my gosh, that means the ones I sent to Atomic Comics they sent it on to them maybe. Somehow it got to the right people. Derelict.
Nice.
Just in time for Dragon Con for issue 2. We try, people. We try.
I left them at a place here called Reading Frenzy, which is across the street from Powell's and sells zines and porno mags.
All right.
Awesome. I will tell you, the last time I was in Criminal Records, they were no longer on the shelf.
All right.
John, make note of that. Right across the street from Powell's.
Yeah.
Porno. Seriously, you needed to know
porno
the
and scenes.
Porno and scenes, Jesus.
And gum. And gum.
Always gum, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a zine waiting to happen. Pornos and zines and gum. It reviews all three things together. So,
I buy that.
While I'm reading issue number 1 of Derelict, I am watching Debbie does double dipping. And I'm chewing on some fruit stripes.
Oh, No. You know, you got that wrong. It's Debbie does double mint.
All right, a point goes to Scott tonight.
Well, double your pleasure, double your fun.
Exactly.
Isn't that about 5,000 points more than Scott's ever gotten before?
Wow.
So, Wade, you wanted me to play something.
Okay, so real quick.
Tragic?
Oh, Tuffly, thank you. I needed that. Thank you, Tonton Tuffly.
You're welcome.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, sorry.
Widge, I forgot to tell you. Did you know that Kenneth Haidt is going to be at DragonCon?
I did not.
Yes.
Please. Whatever you do, no one mention that to Doc. He'll be so sad.
Who is he?
Kenneth Haidt. He's a columnist. He's done some work for Steve Jackson Games, but he did a I forget. Yeah. Scott, what was the column that he did for years
suppressed,
and years?
Suppressed Transmissions.
Thank you. About basically relating high weirdness to like role-playing games. It was absolutely fascinating shit. It was amazing.
And he's done a bunch of he's done a bunch of other like role playing stuff, and he now does a podcast with another game writer, Robin DeLaws. So he's still out there talking about weird shit.
He is fantastic. He's kind of if Charles, he's like Charles Fort's lost grandson, is what he is.
I just have to mention the gun because it still amuses me.
Well, I'm glad it's gotten to a point where it amuses you and doesn't piss you off.
Yeah.
What gun are we talking about?
The first year I went to Dragon Con, Aaron and I went to go see...
And I was there too.
Yeah, and Scott was with us. We went to go see Le Sexoflex, and it was actually right after we left the Lost panel.
I kind of remember you guys talking about it, yeah.
Yeah, I got hit by a gun in a bag. It hit me in the torso.
And, it fell from the sky.
Yeah, it fell from the sky, missed Aaron by a couple of inches, hit me in the chest so bad that it was, you know, the pressure of it caused my chest to start bleeding. And I still had marks like a year later.
Yeah, didn't you get weren't you showing us, like, I kind of remembering this now, weren't you showing us like the bruise the next day or something?
I might have. Yes. The thing that's funny about that to me, though, more than anything else, I would never complain or anything to the con, but I couldn't believe that they came and got the gun and nobody asked me if I was okay.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Well, were you still standing?
I was still standing, but I was embarrassed of the sounds I was making because I couldn't get any air. I was highly embarrassed because at that point I'd only seen you guys for like a day.
I'm sorry they didn't ask if you were okay. I would have asked whatever. If you were okay.
I still like to tell everybody that JJ took a bullet for me. I mean, it was in a gun, but he still took it.
I just wonder where the hell the thing came from. I mean, that's the
somebody
scary
had
part.
To have dropped
from
it
the football
from,
people.
Somebody dropped it from one of the above floors.
Yeah, it's the football people. Anything bad that happens, it's the football people. It's
not
us.
Always, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott, I am sending you.
Scott, it's right. Just the Clemson fans.
Oh, God, this year is going to be so bad, Tuffley. What is it? Who is it, Clemson?
No, it's, one of them, but the other one's Alabama and Virginia Tech, isn't it?
I don't know. The Texas people last year were funny.
Yeah, but the Virginia Tech people a couple of years ago were assholes.
Yeah, there were. I hexed one because they wouldn't let me
hex another one.
The elevator. So I made sure Georgia won. I told this lady on the thing, I'm like, thank you. I said, I'm like, who are you rooting for? She said, oh, Georgia. I'm like, I hope your team wins. I said, because the other people wouldn't let me on. Oh, okay. And they won. It's my power, people.
The Virginia Tech people were the year that places – that was the first year where they started talking about – after the Virginia Tech game was the first year they started talking about the badge check and everything else. Before that, it had not been that bad. The 2 years prior, it had not been as bad with the harassment and other issues, and that was the year. Sorry, just history there. Way to bring it down. All right, what are we going to talk about now?
Let's I don't know. Are we actually starting the podcast now? Are we?
Well, do we have a rundown yet of all the stuff that we have to do for the thing? Aaron wasn't here the last time, so he doesn't really know what's going on.
Oh, well, you know, you could edit the whole thing to make sure people know about Derelict. I thought we were recording.
No, that's fine. John knows if we're recording or not. Well, no, he doesn't.
Oh, I might have an extra treat for you guys at the convention if it all works out. Shut up. I don't remember who I told and who not, but the Mickey Fowls Club did a show at the AFA conference in Orlando like last weekend. It's like a theatrical academics conference. Yeah. And we got a recording of it, and it really came out really nice. So they're thinking about giving, like, DVDs to cast members, and I can actually show you a Faust show.
Cool. That'd be cool.
So yeah. all we need is
love
TV with a DVD player, and you can actually see what the hell I've been doing with these people.
Well, I thought you were just fixing the boiler.
Do what?
I thought you were just repairing the boiler.
And I'm not going to put it up online, Scum.
No, that actually has some. We have some, whatchamacallit?
Testicles?
Licensing.
There you go.
You license your testicles?
That we have to kind of work out. So at least for right now,
His balls are patent pending.
Oh.
See, that's a revenue sharing thing we hadn't thought of yet. But testicle licensing, okay. We should do that.
Uh-huh.
Have we trademarked Weekend Justice?
Well, we've got the domain name, which is pretty much trademarking in the 21st century.
You do, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, I also have solvethisgame.com.
Not bad for a game we never play.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I have the scripts written. It's been a rough fucking year.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Oh, tell us about it.
If only you had the video from last year.
We have it. It's going to go up.
Yeah, well, yes, John, when's our video of our donut?
So, did we want to start Weekend Justice?
Sorry, Lee, yes, what was that?
Our donut testing.
I hear my wife from my outside of my soundproof room.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Did I tell you that my grandmother actually got to Voodoo Donuts?
Yay! Did she love it?
She was amused.
Did she get a cock and balls?
No.
What'd she get?
She asked them for a sampler, and that's what she got. She got, like, a bunch of stuff.
She doesn't remember
the names, though.
She got one of those stitch things you put on the wall? Why didn't she get a donut?
You're a little robo, Widge.
She also got me a t-shirt.
I have the t-shirt, and the t-shirts are awesome. What t-shirt did you say?
Voodoo donuts, you know.
Okay.
Like that.
Now with more donuts.
Yeah. But she went, and she said she got that out done, and so.
Is that any better at all?
Yeah.
Great.
Don't worry, Wage, I got your back. Hello and welcome to Weekend Justice. I am Aaron Poole of NeedCoffee.com. This is the home of the Weekend Justice League. Coming from my right to your left, we have Lee. Hello, Lee.
Lee's coming.
Hello, Aaron.
From your right.
No, John, I'm not coming. You're always coming.
As you can hear, the master of the boards is John Boutel.
Hello? Are we really doing this now? I don't think we are. I think Widge will cut this out and make it not happen.
Go with it.
Yes, and, John. Yes, and.
No, I've decided.
We're live. Keep going.
Maybe or, John. Go maybe or.
Oh, God. It's episode 18 all over again.
You remember episode 18?
Tuffley's been doing research.
I was doing research.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Why?
Been boggling to Oswald.
Actually, have you met my husband?
Touche. Or as they say in the South, touchy.
So I believe he wants to introduce an actual agenda now.
What, who?
Tuffley.
What? No, me? No.
No, he hasn't done that since episode 18. He's learned.
I haven't done that since episode 18.
When he used to wear a sweater vest.
What?
So, Aaron, you're falling down on your job.
No, I was flat out denied. I was fired. John fired me.
That was a pretty harsh block.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole point is you just have to barrel through.
I ain't a dinosaur. I don't care.
So wait, if it's a partial introductions, is it still introductions? Does it count?
Well,
I've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Yeah, I will pick up the baton and run with it.
Fell over and had wood, did I really fall?
Depends on if anybody saw it.
So, Aaron, what you're asking is, you're asking is, you fell over and got a splinter? Is that what you mean?
No, I didn't get anything from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I think that's a tetanus shot.
It's certainly not a rim shot.
Ah. Yep.
Oh, there's one. We also have
Now you play along, John. Now you fucking play along. Let's see how it is.
Moving right along, we also have Scott C. is with us. Hi, Scott.
I played a lesbian's libido.
Soft and sexy.
Everything has spun so far out of control so quickly.
And this is her first time to Weekend Justice, obviously.
I mean, and even for us.
Yes. Oh, please. Welcome to Weekend Justice, Kim. Hope you survived the experience.
Hi.
Hi. Also, Lee is with us. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Widge.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. Serv is with us. Hi, Serv.
Which page are we on in the script?
Well, this is the edition that we had.
It's the blue sheets.
Thank you, Kim.
Did you not get those?
I have those. That's why this makes so much sense.
Read with John. Read with John. You know John doesn't look at his. Just read with him.
All right.
Yeah. We also have Rox and Spaz Houses with us. Hi, Rox.
Don't text and drive. Just right. saying.
That's from Werner Herzog. Yes.
And definitely don't sext and drive.
Yes. Yeah.
Aw.
Somebody might lose parts when that happens.
Oh, good point.
Yes.
Just take it off and fuck me.
Don't do that while you're driving either.
Yeah. Find a nice secluded spot, then do it.
Yes, pull over. When you're done, then you can drive. That's what Werner Herzog says. They're touching it with their little dirty hands.
And
well, I'm just going to start eating popcorn.
And that is exactly the type of introduction that J.J. Hawkins normally gets. Hi, J.J.
And if you can help it, don't drive in Texas.
Come back to Texas.
No. Sorry.
It's just not the same since you went away. Sorry.
What the hell? Save it for karaoke.
Weekend Justice karaoke night, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Should we just warn Cora now that the distant... So she'll start warming up her voice to Hal.
God, that point I gave you has just been taken away.
Oh, double fail.
God. Okay.
You know what? With Scott, it's basically the QI scores. If he can come up even, he's fine.
Scott, my advice to you is going for a joke is like pulling out into traffic. Once you've committed, by God, step on it.
Yes, with conviction.
Don't pull out a joke and drive.
Or drive right into a pole.
But don't, and commit. Just commit. Out unless you're really sure people want it.
Especially in Texas.
Yeah, make sure it's consensual.
You think I wouldn't have a problem pulling out.
But make sure you've got...
I go all in.
Scott, you need to make sure you have consensual pole pulling. That's all I'm saying.
God, it's going to be conventional.
Don't be Carlos Danger.
Oh, hell no.
And Scott, after birth, you never go all in.
He hasn't.
Hey.
What?
What?
Just remember, wrap it before you tap it.
That's the universe unraveling.
Somebody
dropped my cane.
It's
my practice cane. I just dropped it.
Wait,
it before you tap it.
Wait a minute. Your practice cane?
Yes, for beating people.
Oh. I was like, how do you need practice with a cane?
It's really do good at fighting cane.
Oh, okay.
She's doing the, how do you pronounce it? The baritsu?
Bartitsu. No,
Scott.
No. This is for Mr. Magoo. Oh.
Trying Scott, to take the tits out, Scott.
Scott, it's pronounced barista, and they give you coffee. I thought I heard boob. And it's also pronounced boob. All the other letters are silent, except for the ones that spell boob. <That's>, I know.
It's a palindrome, isn't it? Yeah.
Mad Max Beyond Palindrome. What? Who what?
It's the electric company after dark.
Which means they would be turned off.
Hey, you guys. Hey. No, that's how. Hey, you guys.
Yeah, and you would have extremely easy reader.
He's an easy reader.
Wow.
Yeah, you'd have people doing the Spider-Man instead of actual Spider-Man.
That happens at Dragon Con a lot.
Is there an actual position called a Spider-Man?
Wait, probably.
That is rhetorical.
No, Widge, doing the Spider-Man is when you have the sperm in your hand and you flick it at someone.
Oh, no.
Okay,
I went on the record.
Wait, are those organic shooters or are those created in science? Because if you scan it.
Now, wait a minute. Aaron.
Kim, you're near your husband. Please go hit him in the back of the head.
Aaron, I need to know. So if that's the Spider-Man, what makes the superior Spider-Man?
Ooh.
Reach and possibility.
Well, it's exciting and it includes multiple arms.
Nice.
If you involve Peter David, it's the all new, all different Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Ooh.
I would not want to know what a sexual position is called Peter David's all new, all original Spectacular Spider-Man.
But what would make a newspaper Spider-Man? Sadness.
It's just shorter.
My gosh.
It's when you Spider-Man, but nobody pays attention.
Right. And you inadvertently knock yourself out doing so.
Yeah.
So if you've Spider-Maned in the woods and there's no one, did it actually? Never mind.
Well, you know, in the newspaper Spider-Man, Aunt May gets more action than Peter does.
She does.
What?
So yeah, she married the Mole Man.
Yeah, she almost married the Mole Man. It was exciting and everything.
Oh yeah, she almost hit the Mole Man.
Yeah.
Don't scare me.
What?
Does that mean he gave her moloid?
Yes.
And mole.
Oh, I have something.
Oh, chicken mole.
I've got something to change the subject with.
Why?
Oh, please.
Good luck.
Luther.
I haven't watched the last episode yet.
Oh, shit.
Have y'all watched Broadchurch?
No.
No, not yet.
Oh, that is so good.
The first episode last week. It's really, really, really good.
Oh, okay.
I recommend
Although I did see, I don't know how I did not know this was happening. What is it? Low Winter Sun?
It's an
AMC series with Mark Strong and Lenny James. Lenny James, a.k.a. Most Valuable Player for Walking Dead Season 3.
Yes.
So, I have to see this. I like Mark Strong. He's fucking awesome in everything. And after the Claire episode of Walking Dead, Lenny James should basically have every job that Idris Elba turns down, which is a lot of them, as I understand. Including Doctor Who, apparently. But we're not talking about that until Rob gets here.
Oh, Tuffley and I went to go see The Wolverine the other night.
I'm so sorry.
No, we meant to on purpose.
Yeah, there wasn't really very much out. And so it was kind of what's on that we can either tolerate or mock at the appropriate time that we wanted to go somewhere.
See, I think it would have been better if you had just stayed at home and talked to each other about what you remembered about Pacific Rim, honestly.
Probably, yeah.
Because Wolverine was ass. And I feel so bad.
No, I have come up with a new name for that movie, though. I've renamed it. Do you want to know what I renamed it?
I would love to know, Kim. What is it?
Men Who Mope at Bears.
Now, are we actually talking about real bears?
Not your bears, Scott.
There are no imaginary bears. We're not talking about Care Bears.
No, that's a different Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the power known as the Scott Bear Stare.
Oh.
Wow, Scott,
anyway,
that was pretty good.
That got sinister.
I'm almost afraid to ask, but what is the symbol on his tummy?
No.
I can't discuss that with children listening.
Thanks.
By the way, Internet, you're welcome.
Anyway.
God, I hope no children are listening to this.
Yo, that's a good question. No. Actually, Lee. Has Kidlet started, or has he listened to the show?
Oh, hell fucking no.
What?
Has Kidlet started doing the Care Bear Stare?
Stop.
Wow. Parents, have the Care Bear Stare talk with your kids.
Going to. And also, I do want to say that a girl has asked him out on a date now, but he swears it's not a date. They always do at that age.
It's just a one-night stand.
Of course it's not. Up.
Okay. When is this happening?
It's a couple of months from now, but she wanted to go on and get it on the calendar because it's somebody's she's Hispanic. It's the 15-year-old Quinceañera birthday party. And he will be escorting a friend not the 15-year-old for the party, but another girl who is going. He will be escorting her.
So they're not like coming to the house?
I hope so.
Because here's the thing. I was thinking, you know how you get really, really nervous if it's, you know, you go and meet the parents? Like, if all of the Need Coffee people were just there.
Just happened. Just, we were here for game night. That'd be awesome. No, it's okay. Because, actually, I love this idea because he's upstairs right now in the shower. Showering. Shush.
Sure he is.
Before he goes to bed.
Things are going to be steamy in here.
Spider-Man.
Oh, stop. I will never, ever see Spider-Man the same way again in my life. But at the beach, when we were on our vacation, he told us that he didn't want to introduce us to any of his girlfriends because he was worried that we'd try to embarrass him. And I'm like, what? And then,
at least you know your kid is smart.
Well, there's that's no a detail.
No, come on. I would be good. Now, I would be good at least for the
first no try. You would definitely embarrass
him. Thank you, Kim.
I would not, at least at first. I'd be good for the first one or two, and then I'd try to embarrass him.
Yeah, see, it's like when my when my sister would be dating. She's like 14 years younger than I am. I would just get on the phone and say stuff like, what's your name? Oh, it's great. Oh, it's good to talk to you. Yeah. So what's your social? No, I just want to run some checks. No, it's perfectly fine. And I would just completely intimidate the shit out of them. It was fun.
Did you have the beard then too?
Now, my wife is actually my wife, Scott.
No, you said you intimidated the people with your sister, right?
Thank you, Aaron. I don't think I had the full beard at that point. No, and it was on the phone. I would like get on the phone with him because she'd be talking. You know how it is.
Just rub his stubble against the mouthpiece. Like.
Okay, you know
this is scary.
You know, the thought just occurred to me. You know how the
Aaron, are you rubbing that against the carpet? Because I know you don't have any stubble.
I have
maybe
stubble in
it's
places.
Going a little lower.
Oh my!
Go wash your phone.
He wrapped it before he tapped it.
Wait, was that a Spider-Man or a Double Mint?
I'm out of booze.
I think that
it's a calamity of great proportions.
Yes, it's such a calamity.
Toughly, that
the only difference between Spider-Man and Hawkeye is the accuracy.
Wait a minute, Toughly, what Aaron just did, that is the move known as the call is coming from inside the house.
Oh,
I finally watched The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh,
well, about time.
Yeah.
Great fucking movie.
That was actually, I was very impressed with it. And I did love the cameo at the end. I thought that was great.
Yes. But, very good. So, yes, Cabin in the Woods, the less you know about it, the more you will enjoy it.
You do, yes, exactly. So, because I thought I knew the spoiler, but I didn't know
but
the spoiler.
It's scary,
so I was very
right?
Bad.
I don't watch scary
No,
movies.
No, Kim, it's a fun horror movie. It's like, it's actually fun.
It's like, could you watch Shaun of the Dead?
I haven't.
Oh,
it's two-thirds horror, one-third comedy.
Well, and actually,
be allowed on the call anymore.
Actually, Kim, I gotta say, I do not like horror either. I really do not
like
horror
at all, ever.
I don't either. I literally. It took me a year and a half to watch Blair Witch.
I had to hide my eyes during parts of the Night of the Living Dead riff tracks thing.
That's fine. And I agree. I don't. But I actually could watch it, and I was alone in the living room, and I watched it by myself, and I was okay. So because they use all the horror tropes, so you know when something bad's going to happen. The music changes, and you know somebody's coming, so you can hide your eyes, which is what I did. Oh, that helped me a lot.
Could
Sorry.
You handle, did you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes.
This feels like... It feels like it's set in the same universe. It's kind of, to me, it felt like a Buffy episode if they had a lot more fake blood to play with.
It also felt a little, Kim, if you could take the X-Files home episode and had made it a Buffy episode with a little more banter, it would have been okay.
That's maybe I'd be okay.
I don't know if I'd go there.
I was okay with that, but like I couldn't watch the, there were parts of the birds I couldn't watch. Like
the birds?
Okay. Really?
Yes. Yeah. That scene when she's in the house. And the, it's awful.
Oh, I know. It was tipping.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. Are you, are you talking about the David Attenborough documentary?
Yes. The thing where Tippi Hedren goes up in the tree. It's
I know.
Horrible.
It's disturbing.
Wait, and here
like,
we have.
They're going to peck her eyes out. It's scary.
Toughly. And here we have Tippi Hedren in the tree. Above the wildlife of the ground floor. I don't know.
Why has a woman run into the phone booth? We don't know. But see now, as she screams, wondering why she hasn't left.
Of course, as soon as you make this a British documentary, the term the birds means something entirely different.
True.
All right, love.
Can I just say, Aaron's David wins.
Yay. I've had him for a lot longer.
Yeah, that's true. That, ladies and gentlemen, was an Attenborough off.
But to be fair, by he's saying your David wins, he means Michelangelo's David, and he's picturing you naked.
And staring off to one side.
Yeah. The weenie's about the same size.
Spider-Manning.
That's
you know, that just made me think of Peyton Manning, and my mind just went fast.
Do you think was in the slingshot?
David Slingshot?
No.
Oh, Scott, now that you've explained the joke, I get it.
That's what was missing.
See, that's the game. That's the game. You should have, like... Name the joke.
You broke Aaron.
I think Scott needs a pop-up joke book. But it has to pop up so you can thoroughly explore the humor of every joke. So you can actually see, you can pull the little piece of paper and watch the chicken cross the road.
It's the commentary track on the joke.
Yeah.
This podcast will be closed caption for the humor impaired.
Here you see the chicken walking across the road. He's reached the halfway point. He keeps going.
And going.
Scientists have not determined why.
We believe somewhere on the other side there is a mate.
which then begs the question of which came first?
The chicken or the road?
The rooster.
Mate.
Boy, the rooster.
Well, Frogger, actually.
Doop, doop, doop. Wasn't that the Frogger noise? Doop,
the chicken doop, doop, doop. In the road.
What is happening?
I don't know. We went from Spider-Manning to the Beatles.
And somebody's just in the background doing doop 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 to themselves.
Help me.
That's Lee. She's had a few.
I have not.
The sound of the inside of your head when you start to go mad.
We're all mad here.
I think she missed trying to jump onto the log.
Aaron, I think that actually brings a whole new meaning to the White album.
Oh,
God, Widge, stop, please.
Well, they originally wanted to call it the slightly off-white and runny album, but...
Oh, God.
Hey, JJ, remember, everybody's got something to hide, except for me and my monkey.
See,
and the monkey looks ashamed.
See, that's why Ringo left.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
He doesn't have time to answer your fan letters anymore.
Yeah, that's why he left for 2 weeks.
What kind of sexual position is a Savoy truffle?
I don't know, but you get it right after you get the honey pie.
And the glass onion.
Cry, baby, cry.
Oh, no, don't say the next line. No, don't say the next line.
Say it.
But you definitely don't want a Mother Nature son. They don't bathe.
But I will say this, it brings whole new meaning to she came in through the bathroom window.
It's not on that album. Out.
Sorry.
Yeah, there are people at home going, wait a minute.
So I shouldn't mention Golden Slumbers then.
Oh.
or golden showers?
I hate it when golden showers fill your eye.
Oh, God.
What, Lee? It's just the next lyric.
No, that's, no, I don't think it is. I really, I'm pretty sure it's not.
That's the move.
No, really, it is. It's on side two and everything.
That is the move. Uh-huh. Known as the, that is the move known as the Nick Fury Secret Origin.
It's part of the medley, Lee.
I do believe happiness is a warm bum.
Yeah, it is.
Hi, Aaron. This is Scott. Scott, this is Aaron.
Operators are standing by.
They're not near phones. They're
this
just
podcast standing. Is monitored for quality assurance.
2 weeks, no. Folks. 2 weeks and we'll be doing this in
2 person.
2 weeks
and we'll be doing this in person.
Yeah, we'll be doing this in your face.
As
oh,
was
dear.
This,
wow, it's going to be a long
and unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
You and a group of us, yeah. You and a group of us in a room, and we only have an hour.
You know, before I came on to this podcast, I was getting Commander Shepard's space laid.
Who the hell's coming on to this podcast?
I think I'm coming pretty good.
That begs a very good question.
Hey, podcast, you record around here more often?
What's your sign, podcast?
Wow,
podcast.
Really,
you like Spider-Man?
Yes,
man, your bit rate is huge.
Yes.
Wow, is that really your bandwidth, or is there a gun in your pocket?
Nice pipe.
I really do need 27 inches.
As was said by my friend Kat a while back for one of my intros, this podcast has been pre-recorded to give time for our escape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Rob.
Hey.
Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Rob.
Thick eye looks dirty. Oh, my God. I didn't. Jeez. Wow.
Robobox being what? A little judgmental.
Yeah.
Rob, you're now the 10th person on the podcast, so expect craziness.
I don't know.
Apparently.
Never.
11th?
I'm counting 10 on my Skype screen. I don't know if anybody else has got 11.
All right.
Does that count yourself?
It does not. You're right, sir.
Well, that is...
that serves out. Jesus. When Serve can do math better than you, that's not good.
Serve,
why does Serve speak of himself in the third person all of a sudden?
He always does. You're never here, Kim.
Because Serve needs to get an Oktoberfest, apparently.
Another?
Sir?
Yeah.
So does that mean you've passed the field sobriety test for this week?
No, because the sobriety test starts with, why are you in a field?
Sober boy.
Stop waking up in a field.
That sounds like the beginning of a text adventure game.
Wear your pants!
No, because that's the next Wolverine sequel. Because you know how they had the theme in the film where you kept waking up in a strange room without your shirt on?
Oh, and if I had a nickel for every time that happened.
You'd have a dime.
No, if in that movie, he wakes up in a strange room without his shirt on, and then one of the subsidiary characters is cooler and gets things done better than him while he mopes around being emo and gets beat up a lot.
Oh my God, that's my convention room hotel.
unless Ron's there. And then it's just kind of a mess.
I mean, there was it's like there were other characters in the movie were in a different, more interesting movie, but we had to be stuck there watching the Wolverine.
Which is sad, because, again, I'm just happy eventually we'll get enough footage where some fan can cobble together a decent movie.
Get on that, Internet!
It dawned on me recently that Hugh Jackman is kind of like Christopher Reeve in the fact that we look at him as the ultimate of his role. But he really did it. He was in shitty films more than he was in good films.
Is that his fault or is that writing?
Well, I don't think it's Hugh Jackman's fault that the Wolverine movies suck. But we have such...
I think it is.
Wow. Okay.
You don't think that when he made that movie, he said, this is crap?
Oh, shit.
I thought he had actually come out and said that about the Origins one, but I hadn't heard him say that about this one yet.
No, he said everyone. That's because everyone said Origins was bad.
Okay, well, he finally had to admit it.
You want to be the one person that defends Origins? I don't think so.
Yeah, nobody does that. Although, Rob, I think, wasn't it you that pointed out the best Wolverine film so far has been X-Men First Class, and he was in it for like 15 seconds?
Yes.
Yes, and the second best one was the 5 minutes at the end of this one where he and Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen were all in the same room.
Oh, no, because he had the
I know, but come on.
No.
No, that was really stupid.
Oh,
like,
God, no. But the bone claws were in the comic.
That was so stupid. Just so stupid.
I got squealed with delight when I saw Magneto.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, because when he plays Magneto, he actually does it pretty badass. But then they brought in Patrick Stewart with his weird makeup.
So. And?
Well, has anybody seen... sorry.
What? What, Lee? What?
I was going to say, has anybody seen Elysium but me?
No. I did.
No, I'll go tomorrow.
Yeah. Was it good?
Meh.
Yeah,
It's
not as bad as it could have been. It was saved by some really good performances from Jodie Foster and a couple of other people, but it was pretty damned predictable too.
Charlton Copley is awesome, but beyond that, it's pretty. You can miss it. It's very sad. It absolutely. If you stop to think about it for any of like 15 seconds, you'll lose the movie. Because it holds together about that badly.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
There are parts of it that the way they're doing things, you're like, this doesn't make any sense.
But it's so pretty.
But it is very pretty, Jodie Foster is a stone cold badass bitch, and she's awesome at doing that.
And Aaron, don't get me wrong, I love a film with a railgun in it, but you know.
Well, who doesn't?
Railgun, not a film that's on rails.
But no. And I again, it really amazes me how Matt Damon looking like that is like the younger brother of the guy who played Herc off of The Wire.
Pop quiz.
Yeah?
Schwarzenegger film with the railgun. What was it called?
Eraser.
Eraser?
Schwarzenegger with a railgun?
Yeah, so,
was it Eraser?
It was Eraser, right?
It was Eraser. Erasure. Yeah. It was Erasure, yes.
He's in Erasure? That would be funny.
He just wants a little respect. Thank you, Rob.
He wants to hate you.
No, I just want to play Unicorn Attack.
See, being married to Tuffley, like, I start doing this just in regular conversations, and people look at me funny if I'm not with him.
First they ask you, wait, what was the band reference? And then they get that. So now
no, they just kind of look at you blankly because they don't get it.
From that pizza ball?
No, it's just an observation about my life.
Oh, I'm sorry.
God, it's like we're on Seinfeld or something.
I know.
Oh,
oh God, no.
Well,
Seinfeld did not have as many masturbation jokes in its whole seasons as we've had already in this podcast.
Don't even lie.
I was about to say, where are you going with that, Lee?
That was where I was going with it. Harder,
she's
harder.
Going to the shower.
Oh my God.
That's where she's going.
I'm like, is that a challenge? I'm sure people would rise to meet it, so to speak.
No, let's not.
Okay.
Let's not.
So here's a question. Has anyone else seen any of Through the Wormhole? That's not a sexual reference.
Oh, yeah. The thing on science.
Yeah, with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
See, so Lee, is it just me or is it? When Morgan Freeman basically he could say fucking anything and you would believe him because he's Morgan
pretty
Freeman.
Much, yeah, he's pretty. It's Morgan Freeman, so he could say, you know, we're all a marble in somebody's stomach and they're trying to pass a gallstone, and we'd all be like, okay, yeah. He
scientists somewhere are coming up with cheese automatons that will rise up and take the world from humanity. And if you say that in Morgan Freeman's voice, you'll fucking believe it's happening.
You'll believe it, yeah. Morgan Freeman is one of those that when he says it, you're just like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I could be completely making all that shit up. That's all I'm saying.
Because he'll throw a comb in your face. That's why that magician caper movie was so good.
That's actually part of that movie. He was doing the Through the Wormhole, and he was using that kind of his persona from that show when he was doing the persona of the of the guy in the movie, the skeptic.
It's one of the things. It really made me want to go and like download all of his specials.
Well, actually, there's a cool film. I don't.
That. Can't you?
I don't.
Be extra.
I don't know.
Well, Kim, you'll be pleased to know that they have a sequel in development. So we'll see where
I'm
they go
sure
with that.
If I am, really? If it's anywhere near as fun as the first one, then I will be pleased.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It could be fun, because I mean, the first one was just it was a caper movie. So I'm like, yeah. It's sort of
it's just fun.
Yeah, so I'm fine with that.
It was also the kind of caper movie. It was kind of like the Thomas Crown Affair, because you weren't exactly sure exactly what was going to happen. You knew it was a caper movie, but there were just enough twists to keep you kind of wondering. And I like
there's
that.
I mean,
and also I love Mark Ruffalo. So
oh,
there's
God, he
one
is
thing
so
they
adorable.
Could do that would make me very excited about the sequel. If they just come out and announce that they're going to call it Now You Don't.
Nice.
That might work. Like Snakes on a Motherfucking Plane. That'll work.
I mean, everything gets a sequel. Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters is getting a sequel. And that movie
no,
was
not.
Shit.
Please tell me that it is not getting a sequel.
No.
There is no official word on
anybody being signed to it or anything. It's still early in development, but there is apparently a sequel in the works.
And
actually,
there is
a parody. They're going to call it Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunter.
I mean, it was so bad. The thing that was so funny, though, when we went to see it, like, somebody right behind us was getting pissed that I was laughing too much at parts that were serious or something. And I'm like, really, dude? Have you paid attention to where you are?
What were you going to say, Tuffley?
You're watching Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
What I was going to say was, it looks like there might actually be a sequel to Pacific Rim.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Did Japan come through that much?
I believe so. It is being considered.
Holy shit. It made money, right?
Holy yeah, it's
shit.
Made money. Yeah.
Holy shit, it made money. Thank fuck. Oh, yeah. Thank God. You know what? They should just re-release Sky Captain today. That's what I'm
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah.
Fuck. Thank fuck. I did not want another Sky Captain. Just because people in this country don't know good sci-fi or good movies when they see it. I don't fucking want to deal with it.
Well, it did really well in China, I know. Wasn't it the biggest opening Warner Brothers ever had in China, I think I read?
Let's see.
Yeah, it was the biggest.
Holy shit, it was the biggest
opening Warner's ever had in China, which is funny because now Warner's and Legendary aren't working together anymore.
I know. Wait, check this out. So the opening weekend this makes me so happy. Now, it wasn't even Japan. It wasn't even Japan. It was fucking China. The opening weekend, $45.2 million. And just to put that in perspective, Elysium here this weekend did less than 30.
Wow. Yep.
Sweet. That was number one. That tells you how bad movies are out right now.
Oh, that's so happy.
Well, they also have fewer theaters, too, so it makes more money per theater because the theaters are actually bigger.
And they're pretty much they maximize their IMAX and their 3D capabilities there.
Yeah.
Oh wow! It's done $247 million overseas alone. Oh thank God! I enjoyed that movie so much, and
was so much fun. Yeah.
It was so good.
Yes, it was.
2 hours. It was 2 hours of shit blowing up with just enough story, man. But it wasn't Transformers. It had just enough story to keep me.
Here's what's interesting is I was talking to somebody, well, it's people I see every once in a while, and they always go, oh, what's going on with movies? And I said, oh, well, the best summer film so far has been Pacific Rim. And he literally said, because he's not, you know, plugged in like we are. He says, oh, that's by the same people who made Transformers, right? Completely unbidden. So whatever it was, I forget who basically said it here, but it's like, you know, for some reason, I don't know how, people thought, oh, well, it's the, you know, it's Transformers 4 or something. I'm like, that has got to be the ultimate, how you watch those commercials and those trailers and come up with Transformers, apart from giant robots.
Because we're idiots.
No. I mean, this person's not an idiot. It's just, he's not clued
in. No, I mean, the way they,
So I'm like, something
it was
wrong.
I have to say, very honestly, though, I still think a part of it was this had to be a word-of-mouth movie because the marketing was so bad. People didn't know what it was.
Now,
no.
The other thing that's interesting
about it. But I didn't hear about it from word of mouth. I saw the preview in the theater and was like, oh, holy shit, yeah, I'm there.
No, see, I saw the preview in the theater and went, I don't know what the hell they're going to be doing.
You know what? Well, I saw none of the guys.
In it, and I was like, well, okay, I'm there.
Hang on, Aaron, go ahead.
The actors from the movie didn't do like the chat show rounds.
No,
like you know,
didn't.
Actors do for these sort of movies, these sort of big budget films. I didn't see them on like Conan or you know Graham Norton over here or any of that sort of stuff. There wasn't that level of push from that side of things, you know.
I know Del Toro did a couple of shows.
Yeah, and the actors were mostly television actors or known for television too. So I think there's not. I mean, Idris Elba is the biggest name, but apart from like. Our circle of people, it's not like he's such a huge, huge name, I think, in the general public yet. Like, if you didn't watch, you know, The Wire, you didn't watch Luther, you're not going
to He needs to be in the Oprah magazine.
He needs to be in everything because he's awesome, but, you know.
Well, the closest to mainstream he's being is The Office.
Yeah, and the new preview for Thor came out, and he seems like he may have lines in that one, so hooray.
He takes his helmet off, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, also Jane gets to slap Loki in the face.
Yay. Ooh, really yay!
Movie now.
Yeah, I really want to see Thor. I was sort of lukewarm on the first trailer until you got to the end and I think I mentioned this before. The line, "When you betray me, I will kill you." Not if, when. I was like, "Oh, thank God. Thor learns. That's awesome."
Thor 2. Thor gets genre savvy.
And Tom Hiddleston appears to be such an awesome guy.
Oh my gosh, that story about Comic-Con.
Well, yeah, the Comic-Con, but also just the bits I've seen of the various interviews and the picture of he and Chris Hemsworth wearing the matching shirts in different locations. That was great.
Did you see him singing the song from The Jungle Book?
No. Where was this?
No. You're at E23. He's doing voices in one of those Disney like
the
Tinkerbell
King
movies or something, yeah. And
well, it's a reboot of Peter
Pan. He was talking about how like he did an audit. He sung Bare Necessities for an audition one time, and apparently just broke into song. There's video on YouTube. He has a nice voice.
Nice.
And Christina Hendricks is standing right next to him, kind of looking at him like, "What's even happening right now?"
Well, that appears to be pretty normal. So,
well, yeah. Anyway, it's very charming.
So, shall we get to it because of the thing that happened while you were gone?
Oh yeah, Rob's here. So yeah.
Yes.
Which thing? Oh, that thing that we had to wait for Rob for.
Yeah, so
sorry.
No,
no, it's okay.
We don't want to talk it out until you get here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm all still right, disappointed that it wasn't Jennifer Saunders.
And this is the part where John goes and has a beer.
I
he already left.
So Peter Capaldi, Rob, you go first.
Well, Peter Capaldi auditioned for the Doctor when Matt Smith apparently auditioned and didn't get it, along with the particular actor who shall be nameless who turned it down that Neil Gaiman spoke of. Idris Elba. And
Neil was pushing Patterson Joseph though, right?
Yes. But the official reason that somebody turned it down is that he was already had another show and several movies in the works.
Yeah. Well that makes sense.
Well, okay, I can agree with that.
Well you can always do it later. I mean, you know. Yeah, but anyway,
that's true.
Well, remember, it sounds like you're gonna run out of doctors.
No, I know, and remember Pierce Brosnan couldn't do Bond and then came back and did Bond.
That is true. So, I just think he would make such a great doctor. So.
Yeah, me too.
I like the fact of going older.
Yes.
I'm sure Tuffley was caught it just like I did when he did the collar tug.
See, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that because we don't have cable anymore, so we didn't see that live. But I saw the video afterwards, and I saw the tug, and I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Yes. Basically, every doctor, when they get the role, they get a sample of videos and they watch them to figure out how they want to flesh out the character and all that. He's seen most of them, but and he is probably like David Tennant and Davison before him, a fan of the show before he got the role.
Well, I imagine when they tried to send him the tapes, no, I've got them already. They're bootleg. Go ahead. We're good.
Yeah. But he
lost episodes too,
specifically,
buddy.
Specifically has been watching the first season of Hartnell, the Pertwee run, and the Davison years.
All right.
Which kind of gives you an idea of where he's going. I'm expecting that we're going to get somewhere between a first, a third, or the sixth Doctor. I think he's going to be kind of snarky, like Colin. I think he's going to be sort of gadgety. He really loves John Pertwee. Rox,
yes.
I'm so excited. Do you know what Peter Capaldi's two favorite hobbies are?
Steam trains?
No, he collects records and zines.
No freaking way.
In fact, Peter Capaldi submitted an article to a Doctor Who fanzine all about the Doctor Who opening credits in the Pertwee era and explained how they worked with the context of the show, right?
Yeah.
Then he also apparently was such a fanboy, he kept writing Barry Letts, and Barry Letts was the producer of Doctor Who, kept saying, here's my ideas for stories, and wrote all those out. And he kept saying, I don't have a lot of money. Can you send me some stuff from the show? He bothered him so much that they finally sent him a script for The Mutants that the cast all signed. And I think John Pertwee signed Go Away. So he's a huge fan of the show. Now, having said that, that makes me really excited, that whole backstory. And the fact he used to be in a punk band with Craig Ferguson even makes me even more happy. But I think that he's going to make, as much as I love the Matt Smith Doctor, the sort of like whimsy whirl around, oh, what zany thing is he going to do next thing, is getting kind of played out and they need to move on. So I think having a Doctor that's going to be sort of like mysterious and serious and not fucking
and
around.
Action-y, yeah. I mean, Pertwee was kind of like that anyway.
Very stern. I think stern is the word I'm looking for. I think he's going to be pretty stern, and I think he's going to be very matter of fact. And when you think about it in the context of the 50th, which is this big over the top thing, the 7th Doctor or the 11th Doctor is going to be pretty messed up by the end of this whole thing. So I think that I think he might be keeping score, and I think that that's sort of how it's going to go. So I'm kind of excited about it. I really, though, I'm going to be distracted the first couple episodes I see him because I'm going to be waiting for him to swear. Because, like, every role he plays, except for the Torchwood and the Doctor Who role he was in, he swears like a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm sure that the artist of YouTube will be giving us swearing doctors almost immediately.
Yes.
Oh, it's already happened.
So, yes.
Oh, God.
And you will see him sooner than you think. So.
Well, and I think what needs to happen is you do a game like the censorship game from I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue, where you take like my favorite things and beep out words from it to make it sound like it's dirty. And you take his first episode and beep out certain words to make it sound like he's being really, you know, raunchy.
Yeah.
That's a game waiting to happen.
Well, I'm not familiar with his other work, but judging from the stuff he's done in Torchwood and Who, he was really, really good both times. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does.
Well, it's a little early for recommendations, and we probably even haven't done introductions yet. But The Thick of It is amazing, which he did, which is just now out on DVD. And that's what sealed it for me that he got the Doctor Who role, is I got the week that they were going to announce it, like I got a nice press packet from BBC America with the DVD of The Thick of It. And I'm like, okay, this is, everything is released with BBC America with timing for a reason in America. You know, there's a reason why Terror of the Zygons is coming out now and Ice Warriors is coming out now. I'm like, yeah. So I tried to BBC America. I go, hey, thanks for sending me the DVDs of The Next Doctor. And I just got like this little brief moment of silence, and I'm like, "Oh, I never mind." So, but they didn't know either. So apparently, I mean, it was kept pretty quiet. I think he's gonna be cool. I think that he's gonna sort of go. I think they're gonna go Edwardian again with the costume. I think it's gonna be probably. I wouldn't be surprised to see a black long coat and
that would make me really happy.
Yeah, I think you're gonna see a little more dressy, less shabby. I don't really, at this point though, the interesting thing about doctors is what can you put them in? You know, ideally I'd love to see them in a gorilla suit for like the entire run of the doctor, put them in a gorilla suit, just to see what happens, you know?
Well, he did have that one companion in the comics who was a penguin.
That's right.
Yes. Which was named Frobisher, which is also the character he played in Torchwood.
Okay. Yes.
So I think it's going to be cool. And I think the show needs to go older. And I love having all you people like Doctor Who. It's great. But this is good. This is going to separate, as the, no offense intended, the men from the boys, so to speak. Because the people that are just liked it to hang on and they think it's cool and all that, with Tennant and Matt Smith, they're not going to like the new one, probably. Because they don't like the Eccleston Doctor. So,
right.
So if I think the Eccleston Doctor is the best, will I like him more?
I'm sorry?
If I think the Eccleston Doctor is the best, don't like Tennant and kind of whatever on Smith, you think I'll like
him better? I think you'll like that. And I think you'll like... I think so.
Well, that makes me happy. You know, nobody ever agrees with me about Eccleston. It makes me.
Eccleston.
Eccleston is my third favorite doctor. So.
Yes. Because he's angry and
exactly, and intense and all.
My only hope is that the writing gets back to where it was.
Yes, that's my
whole
problem.
That would be nice. I think the energy of a new doctor does that with Moffat, but I'm really hoping he doesn't drop the plot.
Well,
I just want all the characters to get to be characters and not plot devices.
One thing he does with his parts, though, is if he doesn't like a script, he speaks up. He's notorious for having script changed.
Yeah.
I'm liking this guy more and more.
Well, he's an Oscar-winning director, after all. So, I mean, it's not as if he doesn't know what he's talking about if he does speak up.
I know, right? A guy with an Oscar is going to be a Doctor Who. It's just so weird.
I looked at that. Went, wow, really? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And they're going to get. And they got Roger Moore for next year.
Yeah,
which is going to be great.
Really? Interesting.
Yes, there's one other big name, but I can tell you offline. If it happens, it's going to be fucking amazing.
It's me.
So.
Yes, it is.
Well, that's how we get back to Dragon Con next year.
We're going
to
see him earlier than we think, I think.
Well, that's what he said on Twitter as well. He hinted that he could be seen very soon.
Why the hell not put him in the 50th? Why not?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is one, Murray Gold has said Moffat's going to do something completely controversial and unexpected, right? Because he was saying that when he was scoring. And... the way Matt Smith has shaved his head, there's no way it's growing back by September. And somebody asked him if he's wearing a wig. And he said, all of my filming is done. Which leads some people to think that Matt Smith is going to regenerate at the end of the 50th. And then he gets the whole Christmas episode to himself to establish the new Doctor. Going into the new season, which is probably the way to go. But we'll see.
The world is that.
I don't know.
It's not me this time.
John, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
What was
I heard an interview with him talking about all the punk scenes he has. And he's like, sometimes I read these articles with kids.
Rob, you're going in and out, Rob. And I don't mean that in a sexual way.
There
you go.
Okay, sorry. No, the fact that he likes zines is awesome because he's got this collection of punk zines. Wow. And then he talks about how he reads all these zines and articles the kids are writing today, and he wants to write in and tell them what they're doing wrong. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is going to be great.
I think that man
needs a dialogue. Yes, Rock, I've already contacted him.
All right. Well, we're going to have issue 2.
Yay!
Yay!
So the other thing that happened. Oh, what the hell? What was that? the other thing that happened was D23 happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did anybody hear anything on that that struck them? Excited them?
Apart from I think Disney is still dead, right?
No, I think apart from the fact that Disney is still dead, or he's at least frozen somewhere. Other than the Star Trek fans are pissed off because they made no announcements. Yeah, that's about the biggest thing I heard.
Probably the Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Fans,
yeah. Sorry.
If the Star Trek fans were pissed about D23, then they should really lay off the pipe.
Star Wars. Sorry.
Is D23 what they're calling the movie, or what's the significance of D23?
I forget what the hell it's called, but it's why they call it D23. But basically, it's the Disney Fan Expo. It's their yeah.
God. That could be both cool and frightening at the same time.
I went to the first one. It was pretty awesome. The best thing of there were two things that were really awesome. One, they pulled out a bunch of cartoons that were not that basically they had to go to the board of directors to get permission to show them because they are not to be released. I.e., they had one where this is awesome. It was about using DDT to kill mosquitoes. And,
oh, wow.
And the seven dwarfs were going around killing mosquitoes in this PSA film.
Oh, and, the propaganda stuff?
Yes.
Oh, God, that's great.
No, this was amazing because this is in the vaults and there's no legitimate copies of it out. And what struck me about it, and I wrote this in my little notebook as I was taking notes, was the narrator going, That's it, dopey. Killer good and dead. I was like, wow. Holy shit. They did an entire panel on the soundtrack to The Haunted Mansion. And they brought in basically the computer that had the digitized however many 64,000 track thing of, oh, here's where we pulled this. They literally were playing snippets of the Haunted Mansion soundtrack isolated. And I am that much of a Haunted Mansion geek, you know. So
basically they hauled out the Haunted Mansion soundboard.
Pretty much. And it was fucking awesome. And that was the year that they did like some anniversary release of the whole soundtrack, and they also included stuff on there, if I remember correctly, like the Vincent Price Phantom Manor narration he did for Disneyland, Euro Disney, Disneyland France, whatever the fuck it's called. So, now I will say that I like the trailer for Saving Mr. Banks. I don't know if you guys have seen that. The Mary Poppins making of movie with Tom Hanks and Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
That's really good. It's got a great cast in it, and I think that's going to be fun.
Good night,
Lee. I'm afraid
good
of
night, Lee.
I'm afraid of Maleficent. I'm afraid of most everything. I am intrigued by Into the Woods, though. And the reason being is that they, okay, fine. They got, oh, God, I'm blanking on everyone's name.
Into the Woods, like Sondheim?
Yes, mm-hmm. They're making a movie of it, directed by Rob Marshall, who did Chicago. Okay, that's awesome.
Okay.
Meryl Streep is the witch.
Okay.
Now, that's what I had heard. I also heard Johnny Depp was in it, and I was afraid he was going to be the baker, which wouldn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
However, he is supposed to be the wolf. Now, what pisses me off, though... Now, I'm seeing this off of IMDb, which is just slightly less right than Wikipedia. But they split up the role of the wolf in Cinderella's Prince, which...
Oh, that's terrible.
I know. Now
that destroys the whole fucking metaphor.
I know, they did that in the production I was in, but it was only because I spent 3 hours getting into makeup. So, but yeah, according to the IMDb, you've got... What is it? Tracy Ullman is Jack's mother. That's great. Anna Kendrick is Cinderella. I'm okay with that. Chris Pine is Cinderella's prince, which if you're going to split it up, I guess.
Okay.
Emily Blunt as the baker's wife, which is good if she can sing because she's got some great songs. But the one that made me go, okay, they actually know what they're doing, is they cast James Corden as the baker.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's going to steal that.
He is, because he's been doing a lot of theater work. So, I mean, and musicals. So I think he can do it. And for those who don't know the name, he's Craig from The Lodger, Doctor Who. That guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Gavin and Stacey.
Yes, yes. But no, that the fact that they
and he's in everything if you live over here.
But I mean, he's good. He's good.
That like every fucking ad is narrated or starring James Corden. It's fucking mind-numbing.
So he's basically Jeff Bridges, is what you're saying.
If I watched American television, Sam Elliott. I probably agree.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges or Sam Elliott. As far as narration goes, you know, those things where you go, who is that? Oh, yeah, it's so-and-so. Yep. I'm trying to see what else. How did Planes do? Did anyone even pay attention?
No.
No.
I'm just curious. Because, of course...
I wonder, because...
I mean, I think there's going to be a sequel to it, I heard.
Yeah, there's already a sequel planned for it. But I wonder... Well, because there's going to be a Smurfs 3. That's well, why.
Hold real quick. Planes came in third place for the weekend.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
After Elysium came in first, We're the Millers came in second, and then in fourth was Percy Jackson.
Well, and bear this in mind.
Slow
they,
movie weekend.
Well, Planes made its money in toys before it ever came out, so of course it's going to be a sequel. Remember, folks, Cars 2 paid for itself in toys. Yeah. Everything it made in the box office was gravy. And let's see.
And that gravy went to hide the taste of John Carter from Mars.
No, nothing hides the taste of John Carter from Mars.
Well, it helped. I mean,
they should have made a Sean Carter from Mars and starred Jay-Z.
I know.
Yeah, Smurfs 2, Smurfs 2 so far has done 157 million worldwide. But okay, here's what is sad. Honestly, if they had just fucking stayed in the Smurf world and had everyone animated except for Hank Azaria fucking killing it as Gargamel, the first movie would have been fun. Honestly, because when they were there, when they had stuff like Narrator Smurf, who's done by the guy who does all the in a world, that's Narrator Smurf. You know, and you had, you know, John Oliver as Vanity Smurf. You had all these really great bits of stunt casting, which would have been fun. And then they had to go to New York and meet Neil Patrick Harris. Although I love Neil Patrick Harris, I'm like, once you left the Smurf world, you went to shit.
That's a tagline for the ages.
There you go. There you go. But no,
world where Neil Patrick Harris has gone to shit.
No. I mean, he was fine. I mean, he was, you know, Neil Patrick Harris, between like Dr. Horrible and the fact that he's been in all of those, what you call it? Two random people get stoned movies. Oh, the
Harold and Kumar.
Yeah. The fact that he was in that, he's fucking hilarious. And he's good on the Tonys. So what
he's so good on the Tonys. Every time I see him, I'm like, wow.
The Tonys are the best, honestly. Because the Tonys really are great because, you know, they show parts of the show, unlike, you know, the Oscars now. Tonys are awesome.
You know, I did appreciate the Tonys that one year Bret Michaels got smacked in the head by a piece of the set.
Yeah.
I did, too. I liked it so much I watched it in slow motion.
Exactly.
What? There was one year where Cosette, because she works for a theater, they did like a drawing, and because that was the year that there was a lot of Tony stuff happening, so they had like tickets to the Tonys. So we won tickets to the Tonys and went and sat there live to see the Tonys in New York. And
nice.
What I will tell you is this, and I have mentioned this more than once, is that during the commercial breaks, because it's live, they'll show short films on the screens there at the theater, and it's stuff like blooper reels and backstage footage from like decades of theater. I'm like, if you showed this on television instead of commercials, you would have such a huge audience because these films are awesome. But of course, you never see them when you're at home. So what can you do? Oh my God. So yeah, no, that was it for D23. I'm terrified about Maleficent. I hope they don't screw that up. She's my favorite villain.
There were no Marvel announcements at D23. Was that nope. all? Did that all happen at Comic-Con?
No. Well, I can't remember where they did what, but I think that was where they said, hang on. I know they said that Ant-Man was going to lead off phase 3, and I know they said that they have their film schedule planned out to 2021.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious, is there a danger with Disney oversaturating themselves now that they've got a schedule that's going to be Marvel films throughout the year, but then there's going to be Star Wars films in between?
Well, I look at it this way. There's no danger of oversaturation from a standpoint of them all being Disney, because it's in essence different properties. I mean, that's like saying that, Procter & Gamble is going to oversaturate the grocery store. But, I mean, they have so many products in so many different arenas.
That's a very good metaphor.
Why, thank you. It almost doesn't count because, I mean, Star Wars and Marvel, I mean, it plays to the same sort of crowd, sci-fi comics, but they have so much other shit going on. I mean, they own everything, so it doesn't matter. My one concern, though, scheduling across the board, because what they've said about this year is that, I mean, they blamed, Turbo on scheduling.
Yeah.
Because
that was just a shitty film.
Well, yes. But you know what I mean? I mean, they blamed it on that. And I can see where if you put films in the wrong place, they can get completely killed.
Thor being out in October is unusual.
I thought it was November.
It's November.
October 30th here. We get it the end of October.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you guys already got Worlds End. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you again. You guys
very
already
good, by the way.
You guys had Cockneys versus Zombies already. Fuck you.
Wait.
Cockneys versus Zombies?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Alan Ford. That's all you need to know. Done. Sold. I'm in. Alan Ford is a badass. If you don't know the name, he was the heavy in Snatch, and he was the bartender in Lock, Stock.
Mm-hmm.
So he is
terrific. The one that wasn't Sting.
The Sting was if I remember, he was like the owner of the bar, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, he was the actual bartender. But yeah, Alan Ford, and he was so fucking great in Snatch. Yes, and one quick sidebar. Guy Ritchie, make enough money off of Sherlock so that you – Sherlock Holmes, rather, not Sherlock, since your films are far inferior. And make that sequel to Rock and Roller, please. Thank you.
He's doing Man from U.N.C.L.E., though, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he is, which is
– I've got to admit, I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Well, it's intriguing because, I mean, I like his films, and I thought that the first Sherlock Holmes was fun. But, I mean, if he can bring to Man from U.N.C.L.E. a bit of the grit that went along with the humor of, like, Lock, Stock, and Snatch, then I would be totally fine with that. Because that's why those films were so good.
Well, the tone of Man from U.N.C.L.E. was pretty... It wasn't campy. As camp... Well, no, it wasn't as campy
it
as
wasn't campy
the
as
Avengers.
Mission Impossible or... Yeah. Mm-mm.
But later, it
played it a little more straight, as I recall.
Like, yeah,
this is a spy show, not as much of a caper.
But
right.
But remember, you're making a huge assumption there, is that they care about the show that came before it and aren't just using the title.
Well,
oh,
yes.
No, I wasn't assuming that at all.
Okay. No,
are you not thinking of Carry On Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I'm hoping that we're all still learning the lessons of the Avengers film. Okay.
Well, there's a reason why it was called Marvel's The Avengers.
Yeah.
Although, to be perfectly honest, I would love to see Thor and the Hulk fight a bunch of villains in giant teddy bear suits.
Just beat up Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman.
Okay.
Okay.
They would have been fine in a real Avengers film. I really believe that.
Yeah, they would have been fine.
Because they're both excellent actors. They were just, and... The fucking Avengers movie, let me tell you, We finally get Sean Connery as a fucking villain, and you put him in a fucking Avengers movie. Sean Connery was in a teddy bear suit. What the fuck, people?
It's not like he doesn't have enough fur already.
Well, seriously. Although
the man does not need a teddy bear.
Is this the point at
which one of us brings up the League of
Exactly.
Is this the point at which one of us brings up the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No.
No. That entire
Although, TV show, Fox picked it up.
Yes.
Wow.
So that will get past the first season then, right?
You know, that's because they need to sort of latch on to the whole steampunk thing. Nobody's really done that. Well, it's like, ooh, we'll get it with this.
I wanted to ask about The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Are they doing it modern day, or are they actually trying to do it Cold War?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
Like the 60s stuff. And the thing is also, I actually watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Like the first couple seasons, like the first season was kind of gritty. But as it went on, it got campier and campier and campier. And that's why I worry that they'll focus on that period of the show.
Oh, Jesus.
And you'll end up with the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Yes.
I didn't realize that Steven Soderbergh was attached at some point to direct. Wow. That would have been.
What, Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Yeah. Well, although sadly, I mean, considering, what was that movie that they made just so a bunch of actors could get beat up by a wrestler? What was that?
The Wrestler?
G.I. Joe?
No.
No, you're talking about the one with Fassbender in it.
Haywire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gina Carano, who was actually fine in Fast and the Furious 14 or whatever the latest one was. It was just literally that, like, Owen McGregor, Michael Fassbender, and Channing Tatum all just wanted to get their asses handed to them by a shapely wrestler. That's pretty much the only reason I can figure that film exists, because it was lame.
That's suggestive.
Yeah, because originally, Man from U.N.C.L.E. was like, what, Soderbergh and Tom Cruise?
Soderbergh and Clooney.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Clooney would make a great Napoleon Solo.
But then it was supposed
Napoleon
to be...
Napoleon Solo like a Rusty Venture?
Yes.
No, that's actually... No, now, that's
but
actually
then, but then
the
if it
character.
Was Clooney, who would play Ilya Kuryakin?
And how is it that the same guy who did The Limey did Haywire? That makes no sense.
Actually, Aaron, I'm pretty sure a Napoleon Solo is when you climax and you just wipe it on your own undershirt.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
And that's why he's getting his own room.
No, that's...
Oh, okay. So here you go. The cast is apparently Armie Hammer.
Great porn name. Fantastic porn name.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't think Lone Ranger was his fault because he was good in Social Network.
Was he in Social Network?
He was the twins.
Oh,
the Winklevi.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So not only was he good, but he was good twice.
He could do a double mint.
And had my
unless
favorite.
Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Had my favorite line from the entire film.
Ooh,
had my Okay, Scott, take it offline. And that is a sexual reference.
Sorry, wait, I'm going to have to interrupt you there for a second.
Yeah?
Just because I felt like it.
Okay.
But your favorite line in that film, Wedge, you were going to tell us.
Hey, Aaron. Aaron, yeah. Do me a favor, would you?
What's that?
I would like you to think about one thing. Now do that.
Why is it always cock with you?
I think he's having a Napoleon Solo right now.
I was actually had this discussion with somebody the other day. HR Puffin Stuff, that does sound like a sex move, doesn't it?
HR Puffin Stuff. It's a doobie movie. This is something Serv can really talk about.
No, it's just when you have sex with your HR manager at work.
And get high.
Nice.
You mean your HR manager?
I don't. It's not a vowel, Scott. It has a H.
It's a H.
I hate you.
Well, then how do you stand on a history or an history?
The problem with Armie Hammer is that he's this generation's Brendan Fraser.
Wow.
Brendan Fraser.
Oh.
Well, that's a good point, because remember, Brendan Fraser was really good in Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
And School Ties.
Yeah. But no, my
and
favorite.
And then he got cast Network, in George of the Jungle.
My favorite line in Social Network, which I will say, come hell or high water, was the fact that he goes, well, "Let's
hey,
just
Aaron,
go beat
Aaron.
Up the guy." I'm like six. I'm 6 foot something, 195 pounds, and there's two of me. And I just absolutely love that lie. It was delivered so well as well. But no,
was
Army
it worth
Hammer.
It, Midge?
Was it, it was worth totally. It was totally worth it, Aaron. I'm sporting wood right now. That's how worth it it is.
It's war. I'm not fucking kidding.
Now, that's a Sally Draper.
Is that where you drape a washcloth over it to try to... Never mind.
Got really excited.
You do that too, Widge? Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, that's not as bad as my John Hamm.
I'm pretty sure that when you put a face cloth over it, it's not a Sally Draper, it's a sullied Draper.
Not a face
cloth.
Okay. My cloths don't have faces printed on them because that would be weird if I put that down there.
Too late.
Well, I mean, depending on the face. Anyway, Henry Cavill is apparently going to be Solo. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I like Hugh Grant in it.
Yeah.
I think that works.
I would like to see Hugh Grant basically take Cloud Atlas as a springboard and just do a bunch of shit that is very non-Hugh Grant-ish, you know?
Yes.
Because for anyone who hasn't seen Cloud Atlas, first of all, do it. Second of all, that is where you can see Hugh Grant play a bunch of different villains, including a cannibal chief in like a dystopian future. That's right. You heard right. You get to see Hugh Grant lick blood off a sword. It's amazing.
Wow.
Devine Brown got to see that too.
Was it a sword or a foil?
Well,
no, it was an epee.
It certainly wasn't a two-handed broadsword.
Well, it's blunted.
Oh, that hurts.
I hear.
That's what she said.
Oh, apparently another thing that came out of D23 is they're adding some new scenes to Thor: The Dark World, and many of them have Loki in them. So it's being Loki'd up.
They know what the ladies want.
Yes, they do. Yes, the report I'm reading says good news, Tumblr.
Oh, God. Man, Tumblr is just like a hotbed of like Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Hiddleston porn.
Yeah, Pinterest.
Kim, what's wrong with that?
Kim, Wi-Fi only.
I know.
Another actor who turned down Doctor Who.
Wait, who? Tom Hiddleston? Oh, well, yeah, he's going to be a
big... When they brought it back with Eccleston, he's one of the people that turned it down.
You know what I'd like them to bring back in Doctor Who? Is calling the assistants rather than companions.
That would be the Pertwee years.
It's a phrase I just find a little bit more appropriate because companions just somehow infers some sort of like personal relationship.
Yeah, and it's the time to do it because it would really help Moffat with his reputation that he has of not creating strong women characters. And if they're moving away from all the lovey-dovey Google eyes with the Doctor crap, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And it has the word ass in it.
He really didn't help himself with that Queen comment at all. I was like, I get your joke, dude, but just not here. Just wait, leave it. Just don't say it in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
Many things that he's not helped himself with.
Yeah.
That refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
That was the longest one of the show. I'm quite proud of that one.
Well, you do love long ones, Aaron.
Scott, would you like to
comment?
Don't
put long ones around Scott, all right?
Wow.
I don't think I need to comment on that, do I? I regret nothing.
I regret lots, actually. Anyway.
We're shooting him into Dragon Con soon, folks. Don't worry.
We're shooting him at Dragon Con?
Probably.
Or am I shooting?
Do you mean that in a taser sort of way?
Kind of, yeah.
Please, dear God, mean taser sort of way.
Yeah.
Does that mean every time we see
just
Scott, we
get
the taser? Because that would be fun.
Is Scott replacing the pinata at the Fun Fest?
No.
How?
There will be no tasering.
Don't tase
me, bro.
Bro.
Pussy.
Come on, me, bro. I mean, come at me, bro.
Whoa.
I think there, I think Dragon Con came out with the whole thing about tasering.
Did they?
Oh, or is that like harassment? Oh, never mind.
Tasering or harassment?
There you go. It's That's so hard.
It was probably in the same memo. Rocks. It was in the same memo as the memo about the asterisk, but everyone was so excited about the asterisk leaving that they didn't read the other part.
That's a new game show, actually.
All tasering is harassment, but not all harassment is tasering.
Exactly.
I like how someone refers to the asterisk as an asshole that they've removed.
Oh, it really is.
It's kind of nice.
You know what? When I talked to Pat about it, he really wanted to go off a little bit more, and I kind of.
Yeah, I caught that.
I stopped him from doing it before we started recording. I was like, you know, I don't really need to get into this because I don't need all the hate mail from people that are pro.
I know, you're in the scouts. I mean, you really can't go near that.
That's sort of like asking Yoko why the band broke up. You know what I mean? That's just.
But
let's just get all the soap opera out there right now.
To a person over there, they are all excited to no longer have that asterisk.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the popular European comic.
No, it is actually to be confused with that.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead and confuse
just
it.
Just really don't like French people.
Just confuse it now.
What?
Wow. Okay.
So.
Well, we won't explain that one.
God, we're in an awkward corner. I don't know. Everywhere I turn, it's a wall.
Hey!
Hey!
Rock Lobster! There you go, Witch.
Thank you, Rob.
Rock Lobster.
Jeez, that one sucks.
What's that?
Wait,
that one was creepy.
Was that the Rock Lobster?
Was that the Come Hither Rock Lobster?
JJ.
Jesus.
You can't say water.
Rock Lobster.
What was that?
What? You never watched You Can't Do That on television, John?
Yes. No. I think he said walk lobster.
It's delicious.
So is this our version of I Don't Know?
You stir fry. It's great.
What? We're stir frying a taser? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What is happening?
That's the wok lobster.
Oh.
Oh, you almost had me there.
I know.
You almost had me.
I know.
My trigger finger.
Awesome. Circle gets the square.
What we need then is the wok lobster is a version of the song played on a shamisen.
Somebody get on that.
Or a theremin.
Or a zither.
Ooh. I like that. I think all three.
Yeah.
That needs to be a super group. The best people on those particular instruments worldwide need to get together and form a kind of fucked up version of Oysterhead. It'd be great.
Are the cats with the Tesla coils coming to Dragon Con this year?
The what?
Hmm? Oh, the band I don't that know.
Because if they came, we could get them to do Rock Lobster and then Scott could sing it. We could take turns pushing them into the Tesla coils for added
Nothing with electricity. Thank you.
Can I override it with fruitcake?
Rock Lobster.
Well, he could do fruitcake as sort of the warm up, and then do Rock Lobster. Because I think you're right. Fruitcake is also quite meritable.
I think what he's reaching.
What if we just make him sing the Gem theme song?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
JJ, that's truly outrageous.
Oh, man.
Oh, why isn't that right there on my board? Why haven't I put this on the board yet?
Fail.
What?
Board fail.
So I was reading about how apparently Richard Branson is giving...
What about Richard Branson?
Oh my.
I'm sorry, Richard Branson.
Richard Branson has apparently given Kate Winslet a ticket to go into space on Virgin Galactic, partially as a wedding present and also partially because she saved his mom from a fire or his grandmother from a fire.
No way! Oh my gosh! Kate Winslet, fire department.
She's awesome.
EMT.
Hey, you know what, Aaron?
What's that?
That's she apparently outrageous. Literally carried the woman out of a burning house.
You know, that's awesome.
When was this?
It was last year.
If we get a gym.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, here's. All right. How did that happen? I mean, they have big houses. So, what? She was walking next to this giant estate? And
I think she was staying there because she married his nephew.
Oh, okay.
So, she was staying in there and there was a fire and she apparently picked up the grandma and carried her out of the burning
Suddenly,
building.
Suddenly, this is Us Weekly.
Was she naked? Because she's always naked.
What the. His mom?
No, never mind.
It's actually people.
What kind of slut is she?
Now, Rob, that would be hideous and kinky.
And outrageous.
Truly.
And the problem would be, where would Kate Winslet come from? Without, you know, being...
You can't see, but I dance every time you play it.
So do I! So do I!
Gem block?
Oh, Widge, can I make a request about the upcoming Weekend Justice live that we'll be doing at Dragon Con?
Yeah.
At 8:30 Friday at where now?
And no
you want
way
the Misfits on
block.
That? Yeah, their songs are better.
Their songs are
no,
so
no,
much
no,
better.
No. There will be no jam at the no. There will be no jam at the Weekend Justice live.
I don't know.
If you can get me some magic hologram earrings, you can play that song all you want.
I'm thinking a big group sing-along to Jem.
I think that if the theme from Jem comes, I think Danger Woman's going to come and pay some people I know a visit.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
We do still have those puppets from a couple of years ago.
Oh, really? Do you really?
Yeah, from when y'all made us all get puppets.
I know. I made mine and I burned them.
My brother, it was like, of course, it was like 8:30 in the morning. My brother thought he was actually hallucinating because he had been eating Buzz Bites all night.
Oh, my God. Was he really?
By the time you've been up that late after being up all day and you've been eating Buzz Bites all night and then all of a sudden puppets pop out, you start to wonder.
Then he should.
Wow. Oh, God.
With. Like I said, can we get a little like?
So we should do recommendations.
Hold on. The thing is, the reason I make such a big deal with this is remember the Burger King. That's all I have to say.
I'm wondering what was her name.
We do not want another Burger King incident.
Look, we're responsible for bringing back Family Guy and the Burger King. And we could be opening the chest, opening Pandora's box, and letting something else out this year.
I have no idea, ladies.
See, the thing is, there's going to be a live action Misfits Gem movie, but they're going to use the same cast as they used for the Runaways, nobody's going to see it.
Well, I was going to ask, are they going to use the Glenn Danzig Misfits or not? Which
version?
They're going
to get the girls who play Josie and the Pussycats to play the Misfits.
Actually,
I don't know. I think Kristen Stewart as Glenn Danzig will be pretty fantastic.
Or they could reunite... what are their names?
I can totally see that, actually.
The Spice Girls, and they can play Gem and the Holograms.
No.
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 No. I'm glad we had to wait for that one, Scott. We appreciate that.
No. Definitely Katy Perry.
No, we need to stop. No. We are not doing a dream cast of the Gem movie. Stop. Stop right
wait,
now.
Hey. Hey.
What about Tim Burton's Gem movie?
Exactly. Thank you, Rob. Go.
Johnny Depp is Gem.
Renona Ryder.
Helena Bonham Carter's in it.
She's going to be
the
a misfit.
Singer of the Misfits.
Yeah.
Now, is there ever a thing in Gem where Gem, like, kills another character? Because as has been pointed out, Johnny Depp seems to kill Helena Bonham Carter in a lot of films, a lot of Tim Burton films. So that would be a
Burton
nice.
Gets off on seeing her choked.
They should write a scene for the Gem movie with Christopher Lee, Patricia Quinn, and Richard O'Brien in it, just because.
Yeah.
Well, they're the people that run the venue. They're the people that are trying to steal all the money.
Yeah.
What? Nobody? I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. There's all these characters. Nobody's casting anything?
Well, you've already got Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter out of the way. The rest of themselves just fill themselves in.
So wait. Let me get this straight.
I heard Helena Bonham Carter fills herself in.
Hang on, Aaron. Let me get this straight. So the music plays and you dance. You've got the energy to do that, but you don't have the energy to sit on your ass and dreamcast it.
I'm chair dancing, man. That involves no brain effort, especially to that song. Well, I just throw a few Carlton whips and I'm fine.
See, although I do think the Misfits.
Wow, give you a guitar and you're in Mumford and Sons.
The Misfits should be played by actors that only done like one or two Bill Murray films. Or not Bill Murray films. No. Bill for Murray's part I was going to say. A Tim Burton film. So it should be like Bill Murray, Martin Landau.
The problem is that Burton doesn't have. He doesn't go deep in the female department.
That's Helena Bonham Carter.
Whoa!
That's why they only live next door to each other. They don't live
or at least agree.
Well, basically, Helena Bonham Carter,
Chloe, you guys heard Patricia Quinn talk about this at DragonCon, right?
She lives
next door. She lives next door to Tim Burton, but Sylvester McCoy lives across the street from her, and David Bowie lives on the other side.
Well, that means she's
on their street.
You think Bowie lives in our plane of universe?
Hey, they should get together and fight some crime.
I thought Bowie was the sovereign.
No, I want a wacky situation comedy.
That wasn't Bowie. We all know it was just someone that looked like Bowie.
Bowie lives in Greenwich Village in the Sanctum Sanctorum. I know it.
Yeah, it was the thing.
I think he's the only person I know that could rock that cape.
Well, we could dress Scott up like David Bowie. We'd call him David Zoe, and he'd be like a weird drag queen dressed up as David Bowie.
He just calls that Tuesday.
Do you want to get dressed? Wow.
Does that mean he's in the cape now? Is that what we're discussing here?
What is
that? It refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
Toughly.
I just don't want to see his eye of Agamotto.
You were wrong to say that. Very wrong.
Thank you.
Scott C. and the Man Who Fell to Earth.
Who knew that the Crimson Bonds of Sidorak could be used for BDSM?
Not Toughly, it's Scott C. and the It's Raining Men Who Fell to Earth.
Oh, okay.
It's the comedy with him and Richard Simmons. And Rip Taylor's their uncle who lets them borrow a van to drive across the country and have wacky adventures.
Okay, there's a limit to gay. And I think we passed the limit of gay with that.
Wait, but that's next year's summer event on Fox.
Not Fox.
Yeah. There's a limit to gay?
It's on FXX.
Oh.
Yeah, it's called Women.
Boom.
You've been served.
In your face.
That's not the only thing in your face. Oh, wait.
Hey, guys.
It's American Horror Story.
Oh, hang on. Toughly, hang on. Guys, there are gay women, and I know I've seen the movies.
Lots of times.
Yes.
In my room.
Yes. No, not in John's room. In my room.
Wait, yes. Yes, we have seen them in his room. Wait, no.
No.
Yes, we've all seen that episode of Coupling Guys.
Coupling Guys?
Coupling Guys?
Or just Cupping Guys?
I thought you didn't have cable anymore.
No, it's Cufflink, guys. They're just really into their clothes.
We have Netflix.
Oh.
So basically, we get that a year later.
Netflix After Dark.
Dun, dun, dun.
God.
I'm going to bed.
All right. So, Aaron, do you have a recommendation other than going to bed?
Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yes.
It's fucking brilliant.
It is awesome, isn't it?
And Crazy Eyes is my new favorite person.
How many episodes are you in?
I'm 6 episodes in.
Okay, you're a few ahead of me then.
But yeah, it's very addictive. Yeah, whoever starts it will probably finish it within a week or so. And it's awesome. So that is all you need to know. Just go fucking watch it. Stop listening to this podcast. Turn it off. Go watch the show.
It's at the end anyway. No one listens to this part.
No.
Yeah, we're good. All right. Well, bye, Aaron. We'll see you when you get here.
Yeah, well, we have another. We're not doing. This is the last podcast before the con, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because we're all packing and stuff.
No, we're not. We haven't packed yet.
Oh.
We're not packed yet. This is no.
Some of us are packing.
Well, no. I meant the week after. God. After this, then I'll be packing.
Then there's. Things happen.
Yeah, Rox will be packing. I mean, let's not forget, she's like her own traveling show.
I am. It's amazing.
I just need to figure out what clever t-shirts I'm carrying this year. So, that's about it.
Well, this year, just wear them. Don't just carry them.
I know.
I'm going to bring my Hulk Make Me a Sandwich one.
I'm picking up ties.
Are you really?
Yes.
Ah.
Okay. Bye, Aaron.
Bye.
All right. Well, we'll officially move into the realm of recommendations because it is getting late and we're all tired.
It's late.
Toughly, I know it's late and I know you're weary. Who wants
to get tonight? On home? It's late. What? He's been gone too long.
That's true. Who wants to go first?
I'll do it.
Go, Toughly.
Earlier we mentioned Broadchurch, which is now airing on BBC America, which is pretty awesome. Check that out.
I was going to recommend that.
I'm sorry.
We both recommend Broadchurch.
How does it feel?
How does what?
To be one of the beautiful people.
How does it feel to have a recommendation stolen?
I'll get over it.
Okay.
It's painful.
I think someone's sleeping on the couch tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be Toughly in about 20 minutes.
Well,
John, maybe you would. Kim, get out of my head!
Well, Rob, I could mention that the Washed Out record comes out this week, but I'm not going to because you're going to do it.
I wasn't, but hold on a minute. Okay, good. I got it already, so.
I tried. But yes, Washed Out's new record is out. Paracosm, I think is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Yes, good. Yeah. I finally figured that out. It's taken me weeks to figure out how to pronounce the name of that damn record. But the new Washed Out is out. It's very nice. Check that out. And the Arctic Monkeys released yet another single, Why'd You Only Call Me When You're High? So, which is pretty fun. So
That's Serve's new theme song.
Yes, so I'm really I am still looking forward to the Arctic Monkeys record, so that'll be interesting. And that's about it. Yeah, AM.
Which you may get to hear in about 2 weeks, or maybe three.
Ooh. Cool. So that's it, because it's we're leading up to con, and I'm running out of stuff to read, listen to, and watch before the con, and I'm running out of money before con. So that'll be it for now.
All right, cool. Thank you, Toughly. Who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Kim!
Okay, so... In addition to Broadchurch, which is definitely really good and you should watch it, I would like to recommend a couple games. The first one is you can get it on Xbox Live Arcade. And I know probably a lot of you have played this already because it came out last year, but I missed that one. It's called Mark of the Ninja. And it's really fun. It's kind of a 2D stealth puzzle platformy kind of a game. And if you like stealth, I mean, it's one of the things, platformers can be really fun, but the control system has to be good because there's nothing less fun than trying to play a platformer with bad controls. This has got really, really good controls. You always go where you're aiming to go, and you can tell if you're not going to run off the edge of the ledge or stuff like that. And there's lots of interesting ways that you can hide from and or kill the guards as you're sneaking past, and the art is really good. It's got a kind of a cel-shaded animation style to it. It looks great. The sound effects are good. It's really fun to play. It's well put together. It's a good use of $15. So pick that up on Xbox Live Arcade. And Doc, haha, I'm beating you on the leaderboard. Aww. that was just
fight.
Anyway, so yeah, pick up Mark of the Ninja. Another one that you should get is actually available for iOS, and you can play it on your phone or iPad. I don't know if it has an Android version or not, but it's called Middle Manager of Justice. And it's by Double Fine Games. So if you follow kind of old-timey, this is by the same people who did Psychonauts. It's Tim Schafer. He's awesome. Everything Double Fine does is usually really good, and this is no exception. It is basically a game where you play the middle manager who assigns superheroes to take care of problems and, like, trains them up. And so it's got kind of the casual gaming sim game kind of flair to it.
Was this one of the Kickstarter games?
I'm not sure if this one was Kickstarter or not. It's really fun, though. It's very cleverly animated. The little, it's cute. It's fun to play. It's pretty addictive. And it's called Middle Manager of Justice. Come on, what else can you want? And it's free to download. Like, you can get, they have microtransactions if you want to buy, you know, like, extra upgrades and stuff. But you can just download and play it for free on the App Store. So those have been fun. And Mass Effect, it's still the bestest game ever. You should play it if you haven't already. We're coming to the end of the console generation. Pick up some greatest hits while you're at it. Another iOS game that you might want to pick up, there is actually, what's it called? There's a Deus Ex game. If you liked Deus Ex Human Revolution, they have an iOS kind of tie-in game for that. And it's, what is the full title of that? It's Deus Ex with some other subtitle on it that I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's
subtitle.
Yeah, but you know, you'll be able to tell if you search for Deus Ex, you can find it. Deus Ex The Fall, I had to bring it up and look at it, is what it's called. And so it's in the same setting as Human Revolution, but it's a different set of characters. But I must say that it actually does a pretty good job of porting console style over to the iPad. A lot of times the more hardcore games, I don't really like them on the iPad because I feel like the touch controls are just not as responsive. But this one is, so far it's been pretty good, and it has the look and feel of the game. So if you liked the original one, give it a try. Also, I believe that Deus Ex Human Revolution is on sale on Xbox Live for $14.99 this week. So if you want to pick that up, if you missed it, there's a good chance to do so.
And just looked it up. The Games with Gold that's coming up in a couple of days is Dead Rising 2.
Oh, really? We may have to get that. Oh,
I've already got that.
Oh, do you? Oh, I don't pay attention because zombies. But yeah, and if
that's fun. You can just run over zombies. It's fantastic.
If you have Xbox Live Gold, they're doing this promotion where they're giving away 2 free games a month. And I think they go out on the 1st and the 16th, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keep your eye out for stuff. It's free. What can you do?
Was Mass Effect 1 one of those games?
It wasn't free. They had it on sale for like $5 early in the promotion, the first Mass Effect game. So, you know, lots of good things happening in gaming. I really actually have been enjoying Mark of the Ninja a lot more than I would have thought. I do like stealth games, but this is actually a really nice... It's good because you can play it in little bursts. You don't have to sit down for a long session. There's frequent checkpoints. The nice thing is there's a checkpoint almost every major room. So, you know, if you screw up, it doesn't cost you that much to try to, like, restart at the checkpoint and figure out the way to get through without being seen or anything like that. So it's actually a lot of fun because it's, like, some of it is in timing and some of it's in knowing which thing to use when, and some of it's in kind of working out the puzzle, like, what are the patterns of the guards and where can you hide and should you kill this guy or just sneak past him and all those good things. So it's a lot of fun.
And I saw that there was one puzzle where there are security systems that are triggered by the guards passing by them. So you have to kill them and drag the body across to deactivate it.
Yeah, there's lasers. And when the guard walks under the laser, it turns it off. So you can either try to, like, dodge past and time it, or you can kill one of the guards and just drag them along with you. And then they'll protect you.
Yeah.
But then if you leave a body out and one of the other guards sees it, they'll set off the alarm. So you either have to hide it or make sure it's somewhere where nobody can find it. Or you can hang them up from a chandelier and freak the other guards out and hope that they shoot each other in a panic.
It's a nice sort of game to take a break from a longer game that you've been doing lots of sessions for, right?
Yeah, I've been alternating between Mass Effect, between the first Mass Effect and Mark of the Ninja. So I go back and forth.
I know.
I know you know.
Would you like us to leave the room?
No, it's all right. I'm done now.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Who's next?
I'll go. I got to go.
Go, JJ.
Bye.
Okay. Well, I'll just say real quick. I don't have a lot, but from what we were talking about earlier, when we were talking about the new Doctor and the show In the Thick of It, if you have not seen In the Loop, it's a fantastic film. With a great performance by the late, great James Gandolfini. So I love that film, so I would check that out. And also, if you haven't read any old Doctor Strange comics, do it. What's wrong with you? Even when they're not written all that well, they're always fun to look at. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to say. And with that, I'm going to drop the mic. I'm out.
Bye.
Thanks, JJ.
Booyah! Not going to actually drop the mic, though, because I don't want to make a loud sound. After I cut off Skype, I promise I will drop the mic.
If there's any show you could do that on, it would be this one.
I dropped my fighting cane.
You did, and it was loud. Okay, talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
I still think that was from the aborted Mr. Magoo cosplay we were planning.
Now you've revealed it, Tough Lead. Ruined everything.
Damn.
All right, who's next?
I'll go.
I can go.
Oh, go, Scott.
Okay, I only really have one thing right now. I checked out Ken Burns' Prohibition.
Oh, that's great. That's a great show.
And what's really nice about it is it really shows like a lot of the – it doesn't give you like the standard story about Prohibition. Like you see that, you know, it wasn't just a bunch of old biddies being, you know, wanting to ruin people's good time. I mean, there was a lot of that. But it was like – a lot of people were getting really, really drunk and beating up their wives and children. And there was like – it was a sincere push to try to stop that. But of course, like most, you know, causes, they went way too far. And of course, that's how we got the 19th Amendment. And then of course, things like, you know – and of course, being government, they didn't fund it enough to actually enforce the law. So it was just a complete and total mess. So it's really
– now, yes. Is that the night? That's how we got the women's suffrage amendment.
Oh, did I say the wrong amendment?
Yeah, I just.
Oh well, poo.
Wow.
Well,
thanks, Scott, for repealing my right to vote. Thanks,
Scott. Were you drinking while you were watching this?
I wish.
That's the way to watch it, actually.
Because see, that's what I do. I'd imagine during the Prohibition documentary series that I would just be drinking a lot just because I can.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's it's good to exercise your rights.
Exactly. Because you got to fight for your right to party.
Exactly.
But what's also nice about it, it doesn't have that kind of Ken Burns, you know, letter reading that like the everybody makes fun of for the Civil War.
But so everybody watched it.
Everybody watched it, but then it's like, you know, it had all those letters like, "Dearest Martha, we have just had the battle," and it doesn't have any of that. It has a lot more people from the time talking about how things were.
Actually, I want somebody to read a letter drunk.
Oh my God, drunk history.
We just had a battle, and we won, and we celebrated by breaking out the whiskey.
Appleman.
And we drank it. And now I can't feel my feet. I don't know if that's because of the whiskey or because it's really, really cold here.
So, Scott, Prohibition.
Prohibition was bad, but the documentary was good.
There you go.
I didn't do it.
Well, somebody did it.
Dong.
And that was done.
I think it was a one shot. It's like a flintlock rifle. The dong
totally fucked up the cue, John.
That was premature.
A premature dong.
And that is not me.
Whoa. All right, Rox, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Too bad Kim is Kim left, right? Kim?
No, Kim's still.
Okay. Fantasy Flight, revamped Wizards of the Coast Netrunner, and it's called Netrunner Android. My coworker and I actually played it the other day, and it is. They revamped all the artwork, and they didn't really have to do anything with the gameplay. For those who are not familiar, it's a two-person card game. One person plays the corporation, and one person plays the runner. It's a little uneven. However, the power structure actually evens things up. The runner has like four actions, and the corporate has two. However, or three. However, as far as money, if you play a corp, you get money pretty quick. So the idea is the runner attacks the corporation headquarters, and somebody has to like tag, and thus, you know, there's types of damage done, such as meat, hardware, and netware. So it's actually based all on the whole cyberpunk world. The interesting thing is you can get this box set pretty simple that you can actually build decent decks. There's actually simple pre-done system of actually building decks, so you don't have to like scour through like Magic of coming up with a really good deck for you. They're already in there. Also, all the rares, commons and stuff, they're all in the set. Now, they actually have come out with supplements to it, but you can actually play a decent game with the core game. So I'm recommending Android Netrunner. Let's see. Rob, you missed it. We actually got in Xerography Debt, number 33, we got a short little review for Derelict. So really?
Is it good or bad?
It's good, because you know what? I work really hard to make it look bad. But the guy's first comments was, despite some difficult design issues, this zine was a startling pleasure, including a depthy interview with Douglas Adams about his work on Doctor Who and his own books and his own interests and so much more. So it's really good, and they say it's a mishmash of, you know, nerdier things, but at the end it's like, perhaps I'm being too demanding, and which said yes. So we do have a little review in Xerography Debt, number 33. You can find on Microcosm, and I'm sure you can probably find it on Amazon. So I'm also recommending Derelict 2 will be out, I promise you, at Dragon Con. So look for any need coffee, people. We will have copies to give away. So,
and what's in it, Rox?
What's in it?
Yeah, I was trying to do my cheesy 70s commercial voice, but I failed.
Nutrients, Rob.
There's nutrients.
And
there's
rainbows.
There's paper pulp, too.
Which is fiber. It's good for you.
Yeah. Let's see. Also,
but you know, if you don't eat during con, there you go.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I was handing it off so you could talk about the theme.
We have an interview. We have an interview with, Russell, what's his name?
Russell Johnson.
Yes. We have a confession of a third rate art thief. I won't name who it is. Anyway, let's see. We have various other things, you know.
Scott's in the premiere, so
Scott's contributed.
Now Rob, you mean Russell Johnson, you mean the professor, right?
The professor, yes.
Okay, just checking.
Yes. So that's in there.
But he also made a ton of really great B-movies in the 70s.
Oh. Well, it came from Outer Space and This Island Earth.
Yeah.
And two really good Twilight Zones. So pick up Derelict 2. It's a little shorter, but not short on content.
Yes, that's right. We'll have beer, but we'll have to figure out how that's done. Anyway, yes, dear.
No, we can't just give you beer.
Yes, we just can't give you the beer.
We can give Sylvester McCoy beer and see what happens.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
No, we just can't give you beer. Wink, wink.
Yes. We want something in return. Or at least I do. Because I have the bottle this weekend. Even though my brother-in-law says I don't have to, but, you know, I'll go over to oversee what's going on. I'm also recommending Fringe. I kind of didn't go on to the bandwagon. I just started watching Fringe on Netflix, which I'm sure you can get, you know, the Amazon discs through them. It's actually a pretty good show.
What season are you on?
I'm on season two.
Okay.
Yeah. Does it stay good?
I think it does. I think it actually gets better as it goes along.
Oh, okay.
Except for season four. I wasn't really happy with season four.
Which was season four?
Number four.
It's one after three.
That was the last one? Was it? Oh, I see what you're getting at. Okay.
No, actually, season three. I wasn't getting at that, but I thought actually there's five seasons. I'm sitting on a Fringe panel. I probably should learn that. Let's see. Okay.
Might not be a bad idea, no.
I thought that was season five, though. I thought it won five seasons.
Oh. Yeah. Either way, it's very entertaining. Really good.
It's just such a long time.
I'm sorry, John.
It's such a long time between seasons that it just, you know.
Well, it wasn't that long either. That last one wasn't very long.
No, it was only, I saw where a thing, it's only 13 episodes or something. Right? Anyway.
Yeah, there was a fifth season. I'm not hallucinating.
All right.
No, John. You knew that.
It's a parallel universe.
It premiered in, September 28th,
2012. Yeah, you knew that.
Oh, yeah. This is all real, John.
He totally knew that. Future Fringe panel people, he knew that totally.
No, that's why I was saying I don't know what you were talking. Which one was season four. I'm trying to figure out where the delineation was. Because it all
John.
Mixed together. What?
John.
Yes.
Take the fuchsia pill.
All right. So here's the cool thing. If you buy stuff from Microcosm, the zine people, only do you get the stuff that, you know, you ordered, which they should give you because you bought that, they'll actually throw in other stuff, you know, because nobody's going to buy it. So I actually wound up getting like a ton of zines and stuff. So one of the ones that's really interesting, and I think they have a design, you know, their design is questionable, but I won't say anything. It's the FBI Wants You, and it's their issue on the Red Scare. Apparently, it's a one sheet, and it folds out, and there's a little bit about the Rosenberg family. The curious case of the communist Jell-O box. That's really interesting. And the funny thing is all this one is, they kind of just cut and pasted articles and stuff. So it's really a hatchet. It's a good hatchet job. But they printed it on a high glossy type text weight paper, and it's folded up into a little square. So I am done. Cool. See us at Dragon Con.
Yay.
Fire Camzine.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, what you got?
Well, first of all, Rox has been working hard to get the zine done, so buy our damn zine.
Yeah.
It keeps Widge in business. Having said that, I do want to recommend a zine as well. I met this woman at Dragon Con last year. I met a woman last year at Dragon Con last year who said she was going to send me the zine that she worked on. And I completely forgot about it until it came in the mail. And I wish you would have sent it sooner because this Rox really could have used it. But it's called Impractical Cartography. Mm. It's this project that's in Buffalo. And what they're doing and what they do, and they're going to do another one. They have a website they're working on and everything. But it's really cool. They asked all these different writers and artists to give their images and their memories of a particular location in Buffalo. And they're mapping out the zine based on the images and reflections that the people gave them. So it's an interactive sort of...
Oh, I've seen that. I forgot to pick up that at the Rust Belt bookstore.
But it's really cool. And I just want to I want to applaud him because it's just visually it looks great. The writing's great. It's a great idea. They got their shit together, and they're nice people. So there you go. In practical cartography. So I just want to give them a shout-out because, you know, people that do great zines, probably the only podcast they ever get a shout-out is here. So I just want to say that. The other thing I want to recommend is I know we talked about it a little earlier, but I want to recommend The Thick of It, which is a BBC series with Peter Capaldi. And he plays Malcolm Tucker, now one of the most memorable characters in British television. Think of Blackadder as a really pissed off politician. It's also the show that the American show Veep is based on as well, and it's just great. The disc is the DVD is out now. It's the first four seasons, or it's all four seasons, and it's great. And if you have small children, don't play it with the sound up because there's a lot of swearing. So I do want to recommend that. Also out, I was skeptical and dubious, but I am a little better on this now. The Blu-ray of John Pertwee's very first story, Spearhead from Space, is either coming out or it's out. I got one last week. And it's the only classic Doctor Who episode they're going to release on Blu-ray because it was done on film. They had a strike at the BBC, so they had to do all the filming on location, and they did everything in film. So it's the only one that could transfer over to Blu-ray that really worked. And it's interesting to see bad Doctor Who special effects cleaned up for Blu-ray. But this story actually really works, and it's Pertwee's first story. It's the first Doctor Who story in color. It's the first story they really bring in unit. They tie a lot of things together to create 70s Doctor Who, and it's actually pretty great. There's also an amazing overview of the life of John Pertwee, and which would have really been helpful, I don't know, a month earlier, but that's okay. And then there's also a great bit on how they did the restoration of it, and there's also a documentary feature on Carolyn John, who played the companion with Shaw. So that's really great. I want to recommend that. And then I do want to recommend, if you guys aren't watching The Bridge, it's kind of interesting. It's basically a cop drama with a cop from El Paso and a cop from Juarez. They have to solve crimes and deal with all the inner country bullshit that's involved with that. The bridge goes over El Paso and into Chihuahua, Mexico, so there's a lot of back and forth. And it's got Diane Kruger in it, who was in a bunch of movies. She was in the Tarantino thing with Killing Hitler, you may Inglourious Bastards. But here she channels Amy Mann. Like, you watch her and you're like, you're watching Amy Mann, super detective. So it's very weird sort of watching that. But I do recommend that. And then also, I saw Blue Jasmine, the new Woody Allen movie. And I just want to say, Louis C.K. is amazing in it. Cate Blanchett is also amazing in it. But you would expect that. However, I know it's going to sound weird saying this.
I already know what you're going to say.
Andrew Dice Clay is really great in it.
I've heard really great things about that. About
his performance. It's really, really good. And I'm not a big Woody Allen person. My wife is. But Cate Blanchett just hits a home run. She's great. And, you know, Louis C.K. plays against type a little bit, and it really, really works as a watchable film. It's got one of those endings that will make you think for a while. And, so I want to recommend that as well. And I think that's it. Ding.
Cool. Thanks, Rob. All right. I think that leaves us with John. What you got?
I would recommend everyone heading out to Dragon Con in a few weeks if you already aren't, and checking out the folks from Need Coffee. And while you're there, go ahead and become a member of Need Coffee, staff supporter thingy, whatever it's called.
Yes,
officially,
we need all the help we can get.
And if you can't make it out there, you can also help by going to needcoffee.com/Amazon/Widge needs to pay for the server. .com.
Yes, most of that is correct. Yes, if you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon, John is absolutely correct. You're going to buy stuff from Amazon anyway. You can't help it, and why should you? So this way, you go straight to the front page of Amazon, and the stuff you buy, we get kickbacks for. So that is extremely helpful, and please bookmark that and use it. I can see those of you who do, and it helps out quite a bit. So, all right. Thank you, John. I had two, well, three quick things. First, Scott, going along with your Prohibition recommendation, I'll recommend the Mike Rowe three-part miniseries, How Booze Built America, which is actually quite amusing. If you like Mike Rowe and his stuff on Dirty Jobs, then you'll appreciate him drinking a lot and talking about history. It's good. You can get that on Amazon Instant Video for like $5. So it's worth it. It's funny. Also, along those same lines, I didn't mean to be thematic here, but while we're gone next week, the third season of Boardwalk Empire is hitting DVD and Blu-ray. And it is worth watching it just to see like the penultimate episode of the third season when everything goes to shit. In fact, I would go so far as to say, if you're not watching the show, that episode is so good. I would say watch the first two seasons and then the majority of the third season just to get to that episode. So that's how good it is. I came across Robin Tuffley, probably already know about this, a band called The Beaches, and their EP came out in May. If you want to check them out, the track in question is Absolutely Nothing, which is a hell of a lot of fun. It's an all women five piece, and they rock relatively hard. So, yes, those are my recommendations for this week. So,
we started with 10.
We started with 10?
We started with 10 people, 11 people.
It's true. And we're down to 6.
And we're down to 6.
Woo! So,
hey.
Yeah, yes, John.
It is truly a war of attrition.
It is.
I was going to say, we did Cabin in the Woods, the home game.
A podcast. A podcast of attrition.
Yes, it's all about stamina.
Ari, don't say that again.
At what, least not, stamina?
At least not in that voice.
Not in that voice.
Actually, though, John, did you get that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He means recording-wise.
Oh, shit.
But the important thing to remember is that I'm the winning ninja.
Yes, yes, you are.
John, I think actually that's even better than the stamina one for the soundboard. Because Kim sounds like a winning ninja.
I do.
A winning pixie ninja. Granted, an evil pixie, but that's for people who know you.
Yeah.
So as we stumble to a close with this one-off, I have no idea how we'll number it, episode of Weekend, because this isn't the 200th episode. Oh, no. You know what? What we could do is...
Reboot.
No. What happens is at the beginning of episode 200, you wake up and all of John, you wake up and the rest of us are in the shower.
Well, we can always do the thing because they showed the Venture Brothers Halloween special this year, and it was actually it actually happened in the commercial break of the first episode.
Nice. I've not seen that yet. I'll have to check that out. So yes, this is a clip show of all the bits from all the shows that never happened. Yeah.
In your mind.
In your mind. God, I hope not. So yes, as we stumble to a close with this episode, I think you know we should all take a moment and just pause and reflect on what we've done on here, the non-200th episode of this nonsense, and as we realize the horror of the situation, I think we should simply say Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Ninja!
Spider-Man.
Now, actually, do I say that with the dash or without the dash? Because I'm always...
Toughly, I think actually we should say Spider-Person.
Oh. So. Okay.
Actually, you need to say, damn you, Aunt May, don't marry the mole, king of the mole men.
The mole man was really nice to her. It's not his fault. She couldn't stand the conditions in the mole kingdom.
This is the quality you can expect to see in just a few weeks at DragonCon.
Their tragic love.
Oh my god! You know it could have been worse. She could have been trying to date Funky Winkerbean.
Ugh.
Isn't Funky Wilker Bean about Earl Manson?
And his cousin, Noisy Winker Bean.
Yeah, and they'll live in Gasoline Alley. With Barney Google.
Now, Gasoline Alley, that's the prequel to Damnation Alley, right?
Oh my god, yeah. Depression, yeah.
Okay, just checking. Including the giant lobstrosities. And George Peppard. It was George Peppard, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just checking. It's been a while.
Yes, you are correct with your reference, sir.
Thank you. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Yeah. Even my husband has lost his.
Really?
Yeah.
And here's Dakota.
The opening.
Opening.
Just use us. Use us and spit us back out.
Oh, I'm sure they have. Okay.
Oh, you love it.
Sometimes I ask for it.
Okay. Sometimes you pay for it.
A lot.